much about.
Emergency. Batman speaking. Warning all of you to brace yourselves for big news.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Adam West! Hey, kids, Batman!
Dad, that's not the real Batman.
Of course I'm Batman. See, here's a picture of me with Robin.
Who the hell's Robin?
How true!
Yeah, it's another Manic Monday. Anyway, I'm Rodney, and here's a band.
If you shock the monkey, you better really shock him hard, because he'll come back after you.
No, I keep losing deals, and I don't want to make a deal anymore.
Megan, I just want to say one question. Hello.
I love the Kevin and Bean show.
And now,
things go well, I might be showing her my O face. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Our feature presentation.
Unfortunately, yes, we know what you're talking about. I still love Office Space so much every time it's on.
I can't. That's one of those movies. There's a whole list of them. You can't turn it off. You come across, you gotta watch it. Doesn't matter where it is. Doesn't matter how many times you've seen it or how recently you've seen it.
Yeah, it'll be 4/5 of the way through and you go, gotta watch the end of it.
Gotta watch the end. So great. Hey, party people. Welcome to an all-new Kevin and Bean show. It is Monday. It is the 4th of April. Lingus. How you doing, Lisa?
Oh, well, thank you. I'm fine.
She had her mouth full is the answer to that.
Well, exactly. So did I. When I announced the month, all of a sudden I thought of Lisa. I don't know what that was about.
I don't either.
I don't either.
Got a chance to hang out with Lisa. I don't see Lisa. Don't see anybody in person very often, but got a chance to hang out with Lisa a little bit on Saturday night. She brought her gays with her to the April Foolishness concert.
Sure.
They seem to be having a nice time.
Absolutely. April Foolishness more than your gays.
Exactly. Yeah.
They had a great time. It was
what
really
a show, right?
Cool. Awesome. Yeah. It was so much fun.
Ridiculous how talented those people are.
I know. And so confident. You know, I introduced Patton Oswalt, and honestly, until 30 seconds before he went on, he was just on his phone checking his Twitter and stuff, just not thinking about it. I guess they've been doing it for so long, they don't sweat it at all.
Yeah.
And yet it was so good.
Doing stand-up, especially with that many people, is really, it's a separate skill altogether to just have, to be that confident. And when everybody started booing Patton, it just made it funnier.
I know.
So much funnier.
Yeah, there were several people who got booed, not because they weren't funny, just because they would say a sentence that the audience didn't like.
Right.
Like, putting down a team or a city or something like that. All of a sudden people would turn on him, not thinking, hey, this is a comedian and he's doing a joke and it's going to be fine. You know what I mean?
But then I would think, oh, no, this is going horribly wrong. And they just, it was nothing to them.
Yeah.
This is part of the gig. They could make it funnier that way.
Yeah, there's nothing Patton hasn't heard somebody scream out from an audience.
Patton was on his deathbed.
Yes, he was.
He was just about to die.
Has been all week. He announced it was his last performance ever. That's how sick he was. Anyway, we will definitely talk more about the April Foolishness coming up later on, and we'll contrast that perhaps with another comedy show that was going on across the country on Saturday night. First, though, I found this interesting. Headline, sad after sex. 1/3 of women say they experience post-coital blues. What about that?
Well, I don't know. I'm sleeping.
And bingo.
And scene.
I'm surprised it's only 1/3 because in my experience, 100% of women are sad after sex, but maybe that's just because I'm there.
Does that include one-night stands? Because I would imagine that would be a much higher rate than if you're
in interesting.
Love
because of the shame. Yeah. This is a small study done in Australia. 1/3 admitted to experiencing immediate feelings of sadness, anxiety, irritability, or restlessness after sex. About 10% of women say they frequently or almost always feel sad after sex.
Wow. What a bummer. Always.
What do you think's going on here, Lisa May?
Well, I think it's one of two things generally. One is that someone had a much better time than someone else, if you get my drift. And the other one is I think sometimes you just think that you're going to feel so close to that person.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And for some reason, everything's done and they kind of just roll over and start talking about, I don't know, where do you want to go to dinner?
Ball or something. Their girlfriend or their wife.
Girlfriend, or it doesn't turn. You want to cuddle and...
Yeah.
Kiss and they're done.
My understanding,
it's kind of sad.
Cuddling and kissing is before, isn't it?
Right. See, this is the problem.
I mean, right?
Yes, it's absolutely before. Right. There's no reason to do it unless it's foreplay.
That's what I'm saying.
That is a problem.
It's interesting to hear you say that about somebody had a better time than somebody else, because my impression, and of course, you know, I'm enormously experienced with ladies.
Sure.
is that the women are not as goal audience, as goal oriented, and aren't necessarily going into it planning to have an earth shattering orgasm every time they have sex.
Oh, that's just because we gave up.
Yeah. they've been beaten down so that they just go, oh, you know, I guess it'll be all right.
Lower your expectations.
Well, that is always good advice. We've learned that on the Kevin DeBeer Show over the years. Well, anyway, now they're commissioning a new study to find out why. It doesn't seem to me like it would have been too hard to ask a follow-up question in the first study.
Take care of that while you're doing it.
Yeah, you've already got the women talking about the thing. Why not go ahead and, you know, get some follow-up? But they're going to do another survey now and find out why that is. And not that anyone cares why it is, but that is the news out of Australia. I thought you'd find that interesting.
Thank you.
I would suggest some women care.
Yeah.
I would suggest
but
that.
But it's really more important that you care.
But they don't read.
True. What?
They don't read, though.
They don't read.
So they won't see the study anyway.
I see.
No I wonder. Feel so sad right now. It's I don't no know why. Wonder
that all women hate Bean. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin DeBeer Show, shall we?
Go, Kevin! Woo! Kevin! Woo-hoo!
Where is that from? The Office?
Somebody who's happy to hear you this morning,
yeah.
I guess.
Oh, I know. We have some interviews that we would like to play for you today. And they are from the audition process of The X Factor.
And the new Simon Cowell talent show.
Yes. They had tryouts a week ago?
Yeah.
And Beerbug went out there to get some interviews, and he is gold.
Really? He's magic on the mic?
He's magic on the mic, yeah. And it's fantastic.
Excellent.
We had to break it into two parts. It was just too much.
Wow.
Omar and I were in the other room. We were going, well, it's too long. Maybe we should take this out. And then Omar would go, no way. That's gold. And then he would say, maybe we should take this out. And I'd go, nope, that's got to stay.
So the what's great about the interviews is not the crazy contestants that he spoke with. It's Beerbug and his interviewing style.
You could say that. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, there's a little bit of interest from the other people, but Beer Mug is gold.
Fire Beer Mug.
Oh, come on. Let's wait until you at least hear it.
No, not fire. Give him a bonus. This is spectacular. So we have that. We have some. We have a recap on Celebrity Apprentice. Did you watch it, Bean?
I did.
Meat, as they call him, is crazy. Mm-hmm.
Well, he's got an anger management issue, as he described, and sometimes he just loses it.
They've been teasing this fight all season between he and Gary Busey, and Gary Busey was as surprised as anyone else about that exchange. It was fantastic.
It was good television.
Yes, it was. We're going to talk about drunk dialing today. Bean played you that audio last week of the drunk woman who was slobbering all over the place.
And she had met that guy in the bar.
Yep.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about that today. We have Dr. Drew on the program today. He is talking about his new TV show.
Thank God. Thank God they figured out an outlet for him and got him on television so he can talk about stuff.
We have Harvey from TMZ.com talking about all of the celebs over the weekend, and we're going to get an update on the Charlie Sheen debacle.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And a little bit of his redemption, too, by the way, last night.
Oh, I didn't see the review for last night.
Oh, yeah.
Did you bring it around?
Much, much better.
Oh,
yeah.
No kidding.
Eliminated a lot of the stuff that did not work the first night. It reminds me so much of when he started the webcast at his house, and the first one was a disaster, and then he realized what didn't work and took advice from people and changed it up for the following one.
Wow.
And that's what he did. I mean, he got rid of the opening act that everyone hated and cut down on the videos. Did a lot differently in the second show, so... Who knows? Maybe he's figured out a way to make it work. He got some no good, but some decent reviews after the Chicago appearance. None good, though.
Oh, that's too bad. I have the over-under is two shows.
I know. I mean, you want him done now. You want Chicago to have been his last show so that you win.
So we'll talk about that. And we also have Gary Busey, speaking of Celebrity Apprentice, in studio.
Wow.
How about that?
That's impressive.
So that's going to be pretty cool. We will take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Monday on the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, here's big news. World premiere on the show today. A little over an hour from right now. Brand new Incubus.
Love it. Can't wait.
Have you heard it?
No. I love Incubus. Oh. I'm excited about it.
Song is called Adolescence. The album is going to be called Ted.
Ah, Ted.
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 Ted?
The answer is? Ted.
Yes, the album will be out in July. We'll have the first listen anywhere in the world to brand new Incubus coming up a little from a little more than an hour from right now, right here on Ted. The Kevin Bean Show. So Ted. I know, right? Ted.
Not Theodore.
Nope.
Not Teddy.
Right.
Ted. And this is named after that brain trust, Ted?
I don't know.
That genius meeting they have there?
I don't know what that is.
You ever seen the Ted? The
Ted Conference?
Ted Conference. Yeah,
Ted Conference.
All these brilliant
creative people come and they have a conference and they talk about how to be more brilliant and creative.
How would I ever come across that?
That's true. I don't know what I was thinking. I apologize for asking the question.
Come on now.
You will never be invited to Ted. You're probably not be invited to Ed or Ned.
I can't even hear about Ted. They won't even let me hear about it.
Yeah. They always have a great keynote speaker who comes in every year at the conference and takes the stage. And one of the best ones I ever saw, for my personal interests, was J.J. Abrams.
Oh, that's
talked
cool.
about writing, mm-hmm. screenwriting especially, and the importance of mystery and keeping people guessing and keeping people involved in your storyline, but through the use of mystery. And I thought it was fascinating.
Well, he certainly practices what he preaches.
Yeah, you can find it online if you're an aspiring entertainer or a screenwriter and you want to hear something really interesting. Go online on YouTube, I believe. You can find the TED speech by J.J. Abrams, and he talks about what he calls the magic box, which is a box with question marks all over that he got when he was a kid. And has, magic tricks and presents and things inside of it.
Right.
But it's much more interesting not to open the box, just to imagine what's inside of it, than to actually open it up and see whatever.
Because you can imagine, like, there's an elephant in there.
Exactly. When you think about Lost and Alias and all the other projects he's been involved with, he's stayed true to form in that. Who'd have thought we'd talk about the TED Conference and J.J. Abrams?
Good question.
At this point in the morning.
Somebody else should come along and do a speech on how to end shows, though, and how to answer those questions to the satisfaction of the audience.
You,
maybe
sir.
That's another
how
talk that J.J. Abrams could go
You're
watch.
You're no longer welcome here, sir.
Just saying.
What happens when you open the box? Then it's disappointing.
Don't open the box.
Guys, I think I've mentioned to you before, I'm not sure on the air, about a neighbor of mine who bought a safe from some sort of jewelry business or something like that that went out of business, and he bought a safe that had not been opened. And he has kept it in his living room for, I don't know, about 20 years or something like that now. It's an antique safe that may or may not have something in it. He won't open it. He does not want to know, because exactly what you're talking about, Ralph, as he says.
Mystery. The mystery.
He says, I don't need the money, and whatever's in it is probably going to be disappointing, so I'd rather just sit here and imagine how awesome it could be, what's going on inside those walls.
Yes.
Weird.
The power of imagination, my friend.
20 years it's been sitting
in this living room. Don't you sit on your couch and you just look over and you go, this is BS. Let's just find out what's in it.
No, because the imagining is the fun part. And you tell people, come over and say, yeah, that's never been opened. You know, who knows what could be in there? And then people spend the day thinking about it.
Huh. There could be $1 million in there,
right,
for all he knows.
That's what I'm saying.
Or more likely, there's a bag of old seashells the guy picked up along the beach.
Right.
But you don't know. Mystery. Mystery. Mystery.
Could you do that, Kevin? Could you sit there and look at that safe?
Are you kidding? I would have to break that open within an hour.
Kevin can't take this, unwrap his McDonald's to see what the burger looks like.
Same one
as if he's never seen one before. Oh, look at this! There's a burger inside this paper. How'd that happen? Magic. All right, let's talk about things, shall we? Before I get to the showbiz news, I do have some passes to give away. This is a pretty cool one. I mean, they're all cool.
Sure.
This one's pretty cool. It is red carpet world premiere passes to Scream 4.
Mmm, tasty. I'm in. Where do I get tickets?
Well, you have to call 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call. First three callers will get a pair of passes to attend the red carpet world premiere of Scream 4 at Grauman's Chinese Theater, the legendary Grauman's Chinese Theater on Hollywood Boulevard. It is all happening on Monday, April the 11th. Movies in theaters everywhere Friday, April the 15th. So you can check out the latest and the sort of the reboot of the Scream franchise, the one that really kind of started them all, really. That was the first teen sort of funny yet scary horror phenomenon from the mind of Wes Craven, and kind of invented a brand new genre in the horror movies.
And then there was 2 and 3.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, but I mean, Scream was the franchise. That was the one that started it all. Let's take a look, speaking of movies, at the weekend's hot box office. Hop! The movie we talked about last week, the movie about the little Easter Bunny, E.B., who was supposed to take over for his dad and become the Easter Bunny and bring all the little kids Easter baskets and entertain them with candy. He poops jelly beans, you know, Hop does.
I heard that, yeah.
Yeah. And we all said, ha, 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 we laugh at you, little Easter Bunny. What were we thinking? $38.2 million it made this weekend.
A lot of little kids.
Made it number one by far.
And Dave, the King of Mexico.
Oh, I love Hep. I love to go see Hep. About
did
the,
he go?
About
Dave
the,
didn't go see
about
Hop.
The Bonnie.
I don't know, but he said he was going to.
Of course he did. Oh, it's so cute, the little Hep. He's a Bonnie Rebit. And he celebrates Easter.
Why can't he get any vowel right?
I don't know. Source Code was number two at the box office, a little over $15 million.
I saw that. That was really good.
Getting great reviews.
Yeah, it's really good.
Insidious was third. Oh, that kid sure is possessed with something. $13.5 million made it number three in its debut weekend. Then Diary of a Wimpy Kid, Roderick Rules, Limitless, The Lincoln Lawyer, Sucker Punch, Rango, Paul, and Battle Los Angeles opened up this, closed out, rather, the top 10 movies this weekend. Speaking of Alias, as we were moments ago about J.J. Abrams, former star of Alias and current star of Hawthorne, Michael Vartan got married this weekend. Married realtor Lauren Scar Saturday in Newport Beach. Apparently, several of his Alias castmates stopped by. Not so much Jennifer Garner. No, since their engagement broke up years ago. But Victor Garber was there. Actually served as a groomsman.
Oh.
Victor Garber's always got his sticky fingers in everybody's weddings. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, he actually married Jennifer Garner and Ben Affleck.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. But apparently it was all very romantic and everyone had a good time. Speaking of romance, Bone star Emily Deschanel recently married David Hornsby, actor and writer from Everybody Loves Phil. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, rather. They have announced they're pregnant with her first child, so congratulations to those guys. Britney Spears apparently has another case of wedding fever. She loves to get married.
Oh, good.
Friends are saying that she is itching for her boyfriend Jason Trawick to marry her. Well, that itching can come from anything, really, with Britney Spears. You may want to check her for pube lice.
Ugh.
Or, you know, any number of reasons. Stop playing that. Stop playing that.
That's Britney Spears.
That is
laughing.
Not an acceptable Britney Spears drop. There's no way to distinguish it's her. It's meaningless.
It is her, though.
We have to take your word on it. It's not something you can play out of the blue during a Britney Spears song and go, oh, I can see the relation to that. Stop that. All right, we have to have a segment called Take That Off Your Machine, where we just start to edit certain clips of audio that people play that just really are pointless.
Huh?
Hey, that's
how about
better.
That one?
That's better.
All right, because that kind of represents her personality
right,
a little more.
Right, she's stupid there. Huh? You can hear her all being all trailer trashy. I like that one enormously. So friends say they want to get married. Word is she's planning a wedding by the end of the year. A private family affair in Hawaii. That's the word on the street. So we'll keep you posted on the Britney Spears nuptial update.
One thing I know about her is she does everything privately. So
she does.
That's good.
So it's not like attention.
Right.
I don't care how much she begged you, you would never marry Britney Spears, right?
No, I would not, sir.
I mean, seriously.
No matter how much money was involved, no matter how good the sex was, there's no way I'm hitching my wagon to that horse.
It does sound... You don't have to call her a horse. Well, I mean, she's doing the best she can with what she's got, but I'm just saying... Sounds like a disaster waiting to happen to marry that woman.
Yeah. You can't go into it thinking anything good, right?
No.
You have to presume the worst. Speaking of which, Jessica Simpson says she is going to get back down to her original weight. 8 pounds, 2 ounces. No, kidding. the weight she was when she was sort of in the prime of her career. Because she wants to look amazing in her wedding dress when she marries her fiancé, Eric Johnson. So far, she's lost 20 pounds, according to Star Magazine. She's well on her way, so congratulations.
But she'll balloon right back up after they get married, right?
Oh, you won't be able to stop her from eating once she says I do. You get into the reception. Where's Jessica? It's time for our first dance. Over at the buffet. Cake's gone. Before they even have a chance. Stop it. Stop that.
She'll start putting on weight in the car on the way from the wedding to the reception.
Is there any movie that you would buy on DVD for $1,000?
Any movie for $1,000?
Yes.
I sure can't think of any.
Bean, what movie would you buy for $1,000?
The Megan Fox, Jessica Alba sex tape.
All right, we're talking real movies here.
Oh, well, no.
They're giving a limited edition treatment to a 30th anniversary release of Scarface with Al Pacino. This is the 1983 classic.
Right.
He plays a Cuban gangster, coke dealer.
That's to say hello to my little friend, right?
Say hello to my little friend.
Right. Okay.
Blu-ray, digital copy, and the DVD for $1,000. But wait, there's more.
Sure, you'd pay $1,000 just for that, right?
I wouldn't, though, because...
Oh. It sounds like about a $29 deal, right?
With the DVD, so you get a hand-painted humidor made out of Spanish cedar wood filled with 100 Habanos cigars.
Okay.
But wait, there's no more. That's it.
That's it? Does Al Pacino come watch it with you?
Only 1,000 of the sets will be made, and you can get yours on September the 6th for $1,000. For the low, low price of $1,000.
How much would that that cigar combination cost normally?
100 Habano cigars in a nice humidor? I can only imagine it would probably be $1,000.
If it's really worth $1,000, then maybe this is an okay deal for somebody who's into Cuban cigars.
But if you're well, they can't. They're not Cubans. They can't be, because that's illegal to sell here in the States. But if you are interested, you can pre-order on Amazon for a mere $700 if you want to get in. You want to get a discount before you get in. So,
say hello to my little money-making scheme.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Big list of birthdays celebrating their birthdays today. Jamie Lynn Spears. Speaking of the Spears family, she is 20 years old. Stop it. Natasha Lyonne celebrates her 32nd birthday. Magician David Blaine. I'm in a box of ice. Look at me, I'm in a box of water. Look at me, I'm in a box. He is 38 years old. Bassist Magnus Svenningsson of the Cardigans. We haven't had a chance to play some Cardigans audio in a while. We're out of time now, but maybe in a little bit we can play some of the Kevin and Bean Cardigan interview. He's 39 years old today. Josh Todd, singer for Buck Cherry, is 40. Actor Barry Pepper is 41 years old today. I don't know if anybody besides myself watched the Kennedy's miniseries this weekend.
Recorded it.
Me too. Recorded it.
No.
Save yourself some time.
Oh, really?
Poorly done. I hear it is not good.
Wow.
All right. Good to know.
Wow. Aww, is it a bad script?
No kidding.
Oh, it's just like Joe Jr., the eldest of the Kennedy boys who died during World War II. He's going off to war, and his dad's like, well, be careful, son. He's like, but I have to go, Pa, so I can come back and run for president, because we all know that's what your dream was, and now it's my dream, too. You didn't get to do it, but I'll be president when I come back from the war. It's like, really? Do you think that's what the conversation was on the porch before he left to go fight the Nazis? Anyway, I thought Barry Pepper as Robert Kennedy is actually very good in it, but there's some moments that made me...
He's wearing a fake schnoz, right?
Yes, he is. Made me laugh out loud, that movie. So if you want a couple laughs, maybe you can watch it.
I didn't think it was a comedy.
It's not supposed to be, I don't believe. Anyway, he's 41 years old today. Robert Downey Jr. turns 46. Comedian David Cross, one of our favorites around here, he's 47 years old. Actor Hugo Weaving, who plays Red Skull in the upcoming Captain America movie, he's 51. Producer, writer, director David E. Kelly is 55. Actress Christine Lottie is 61. And Craig T. Nelson, who you can currently see on Parenthood, he is 67 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Got a huge Kevin and Bean show just ahead, including your tickets to the Foo Fighters Back and Forth documentary screening. That's going to be at the Mann Chinese Theater tomorrow night. We have those that you can win today on the Kevin and Bean show, plus a world premiere, brand new music from Incubus. That's coming up in less than an hour from right now. There it is.
You know what this means.
Was last night the best Celebrity Apprentice, or certainly one of the best Celebrity Apprentice episodes you've ever seen, Kevin?
Yes. Of all time.
I feel the season may have peaked too early, and it's a ratings juggernaut again this season, too, because of the fantastic cast. NBC Sunday nights, we're always happy on Mondays to talk to our friend Donald J. Trump, who joins us from New York. Hey, Mr. Trump.
The greatest episode of any show ever based around me and working for me ever aired on one network called NBC.
You might actually be right this time when you say that. It was unbelievable television.
And, of course, starring me, the author of the greatest business book, Art of the Deal, ever written, perhaps ever read by anyone, ever, the best one, ever.
Yeah, you did say that, and that was ridiculous.
You did suggest that it may still be the best-selling business book of all time, which I don't think it's even close.
It absolutely is.
It's not even close.
Well, don't bother looking it up. All right.
Now, last night, you got the people together, and you decided to tell them, you know, what they're going to do, but first you had to explain to them your love of art.
I'm a big fan of art. I have many, many wonderful pieces throughout various homes. I love looking at the art. I love touching the art. I have fun with it. What you're going to do is create your own works of art.
Yes.
You have a lot of homes.
I love art.
Uh-huh.
In various homes.
Right.
Multi-million dollar homes.
And what do you...
Which I have many.
And what do you
and
do
I
with...
And I fill them all with... Huge, huge pieces of very expensive art that I love to look at, touch, and have fun with.
Wait, describe having fun with art.
You lube it up.
Oh, that's what I was afraid of.
Yes.
All right, so you tell them that they're supposed to, you know, create art and then sell it. That's their job. So the guys go back and they start brainstorming, and get the great Gary Busey comes up with what I think is a great idea.
I'm thinking about a clown on a bicycle that goes on a string across two points.
A righteous truth, ART, is the definition of art. Because you need heart for the art, and the art brings the heart. Therefore, they go together in a wonderful way, in a composition.
So he
that
said,
embraces the eyes of the viewer.
All right.
Yes.
What was he talking about, Donald?
He's having fun with art. Is what he's doing. He's playing with the letters, and he wants a clown on a bicycle. And who can blame him?
So you don't know what he's talking about either?
Nope.
Okay. All right. Now, let's talk about Meatloaf. Who goes crazy? Basically, they go get some art supplies. And you've been teasing this all season long.
Yes.
The fight.
Yes.
Busey doesn't really do anything and has no idea what's going on.
Gary has never looked more confused, and that's saying something for Gary Busey.
They come back from the art store, and Meatloaf can't find his supplies, so he accuses Gary Busey of stealing it.
Yes.
In this way.
Where's my paint? My paint's not here. I had a whole bag of markers. Gary, did you buy this paint right here?
Yeah.
Why?
Gotta be around here. There's another bag.
Okay!
What's wrong?
Mother!
What's wrong?
I bought those mother sponges. Part of that paint is mine. I'm sick and tired of you, mother.
No.
Whoa. What's happening, Donald Trump?
Somebody needs a nap. If you can't share your crayons, you get a timeout, Meatloaf.
So he's yelling at Gary Busey for stealing. He's literally yelling about sponges, art sponges.
And paint.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it continues.
That was all mine in my basket.
Bull mother.
No, I've been
Hold on, guys. Hold on.
You don't want to make you get out. You don't want to. You do not want to. With me.
That's true. I think that's true.
I would not. I would not bleep with him.
Did you get a 911 call or something? I mean, he was crazy. He was about to tear the mother down.
Well, I want everyone to know at no time was Gary Busey in any danger. We had a staff member with an elephant tranquilizer dart gun standing just offside of the camera in case things got out of hand.
And do you think that would have done it? Because I don't know.
Yeah, we have to use an elephant gun, yeah.
Okay.
You look in my eyes. I am the last person in the world you ever want to with. You mother, you look at me.
Don't do it.
Now they're trying to hold him back. He's going after Gary.
My God.
Because he stole his paints.
Wasn't the second most shocking thing of this whole episode to find out that Meatloaf has already been to anger management class?
Yes.
I mean, it's unbelievable what was
going on. You'll be in the hospital in about 4 minutes.
Meat.
I like how they call him Meat. Donald, do you have to call him Meat? That's his first name?
Sure, that's his first name, yes. Right.
Look, take him out of here. Take him out of here.
Come on, Gary.
Take him out of here.
This is mine.
Come on, Gary.
It is not yours, you preacher.
Meat. Look, is this your bag? It was under a corner.
All right, now they find a new bag of art supplies.
Ba-da-ba-ba-da-bop.
And it turns out that was Meatloaf's bag, and Gary Busey didn't do a thing. So at least he stopped then.
You pushed me too far.
Does this look like it?
Thank you.
Take your spray paint.
Thank you very much.
Shut the up!
No, I can't.
Do your hard work and get out of my face!
I'm not in your face.
He pushed him too far by not having stolen anything of his.
He didn't steal.
How dare you not steal anything of mine?
It's cringeworthy, Lisa. If you're sitting there watching, it's uncomfortable. You feel like you should not be seeing this. It's too raw.
Oh, my God.
I have a feeling Meatloaf was just hungry. And Gary started to look like a giant chicken leg, like
could
in those
be.
Cartoons when those two guys are stranded on a desert island.
That could be, yeah.
Yes.
That was fantastic. I watched that like three times. And then, I got to be honest, I fast-forwarded to the end where Meatloaf gets fired, because what else is there?
Right.
It's a two-hour show, for God's sake.
I did the wrong thing.
Oh, I'm sorry. Meatloaf is apologizing.
I've been yelling at you this morning. It didn't solve anything, and I am so embarrassed by it, and I'm so upset by it.
Nothing ever gets solved when people do that.
Oh, I know. I'm aware of that.
Okay? I've been beating myself up all day for it. It's just totally wrong. There's other ways of doing things, and I do apologize, okay? I'm really, really sorry.
I accept your apology, sir.
I mean, truly wrong.
Yeah, and I'm aware. Meatloaf had a battle going inside of him, and the best way he knew to win it was to confront me in a confrontation of death, beating me senseless. That was his way of confronting his own anger.
Yeah, that's true.
And I want everyone to know I'm using your show to announce it next season on NBC, my new show, Donald Trump's Confrontation of Death.
Who would watch that?
Starring Meatloaf and Marley Matlin.
So then we go to the end of the show to see Meatloaf get fired.
Richard is a wickedly intelligent man.
Unbelievably intelligent.
Without a doubt.
He's great. Richard. He's unbelievably
yes, he
intelligent.
Is.
Wait, Richard. But at the same time, what? I have to say, what? He raised no money. Got to do it.
What?
Richard, you're fired.
How did they fire Richard? How did you fire Richard?
Because he did not raise enough money in the charity fundraising task.
But what about the Meatloaf thing?
Well, people fight sometimes. Sometimes people steal people's paint and then really don't and get yelled at and almost murdered.
How does Meatloaf not get fired?
Because he didn't actually murder him. If he had murdered him, I would have then had to fire him.
And he did apologize, and he was forgiven. And the other members of the team did say that Richard Hatch was, did not contribute very much to this task. And I guess, plus Donald Trump, you know that Gary Busey makes great television. You keep that guy on as long as you can.
Absolutely. If I had had my choice, if I could have fired anyone last night, I would have fired Star Jones for trying to whisper in Marley Matlin's ear.
That was a high point.
That was definitely the high point of the evening for me. As Star tried to whisper something secret in Marley's ear, to which Marley had to have her interpreter say, "I'm deaf. I can't hear when you whisper in my ear."
That was good. It's a great show, Donald. I can't wait for next week.
All right, now.
You do good work.
Brand new world premiere music for you on the Kevin and Bean Show in about 40 minutes. New Incubus. Their song is called Adolescence. Stick around for that. Also, the greatest drunk dialing. The greatest drunk dialing. I'm doing some drunk dialing right now. Call that you've ever heard. And our friend Dr. Drew talking about his new show debuting tonight on CNN Headline News. All of that coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Everybody has a first time, right?
Sure,
yeah.
We were terrible when we started, and it took us a long time to learn. Well, we sent Beer Mug out to do some interviews at the X Factor. They had their auditions. How many people were there? 17,000?
17,000, yeah.
And where was this?
This was at the LA Sports Arena.
Okay.
Yeah.
And this was a week ago or something
like
that?
Yeah, last Sunday.
All right. Now, Muggs is not a seasoned professional interviewer. So, you know, he's got to learn. He's got to start from the ground up. My problem is, and I apologize up front, I think you learn from me, and that's not who you want to learn from.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
You do not want to listen to me do interviews or whatever and then go, I need to accomplish that.
All right.
Here is Beer Mug just trying to start out in front of the line.
What's up, everybody? Beer Mug here at the open call for season one of the X Factor. We're going to go see what future talent. What's up, everybody? What's up, everybody? I'm going to go and walk around and among these. Hey, everybody, Beer Mug here at the last. Hey, everybody, Beer Mug here. Feels like I've landed on another planet, so let's go see if we can find some talent amongst these aliens.
Yes.
What I love and what's going through Beer Mug's mind right now is I'm so happy that I was taping it so that the bad stuff never makes the air and only the good stuff can be edited together. There's too much bad stuff.
That's what I thought at the time.
Sure, but see, what we do is we find the bad stuff and then we feature it. Now, Muggs had people sing because, of course, this is a singing competition.
Right.
And I'm just suggesting that perhaps you need to vary your response when you're talking to people and they're singing.
Yeah.
Vary it a little. I'm just saying maybe a thing or two should be different.
If he turns you down again for X Factor...
Oh, I'm sorry. We're not even at that point yet. This is where Muggs describes the fact that it works if you rush the stage and hurt Simon. Then he'll get the idea that you really want to make it, and he'll let you through.
If he turns you down again for X Factor, will you physically hurt him?
No, I would not do that.
I'm not a violent person.
Will you punch him in the face?
No.
Will you punch him in the face?
I won't punch him.
Will you punch him in the face?
Never.
Will you put him in a chokehold?
No, not really.
Will you kick Simon in the nuts?
No.
Will you dropkick him?
No.
He wasn't giving up on that line of questioning, though, was he?
Right, but at some point you go, the answer's no, so I'm going to move on to another question.
Yeah.
Not Muggs. He holds right onto it.
Right.
I like that. Now comes the singing and Muggs' fantastic reaction.
Forever, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm on afraid.
Yeah.
I'm there to fall.
Yeah. Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
I know I'm no angel.
Yeah, man.
My, she looks so fine.
Yeah!
Make her look fat and I'm so glad she's mine.
Yeah!
To blame.
Yeah! Yeah!
Mind release.
Yeah!
Hit me with your best shot.
Oh, yeah! Yeah! All right.
I am washed by the water.
Yeah!
Woo! So you got that.
Well, I really don't have another reaction in my arsenal, do I?
No. Is it possible that some of the people were good and deserved the compliment, and some of the people were bad and maybe would have deserved a different response?
Yeah, I gave it to everybody.
You did.
Yeah.
You yelled yeah to every single singer.
Yeah.
Yeah! So we don't have time to continue through this right now, but we will.
No, don't go away. Come
we
on.
Will later. Later today,
awesome.
We've got some more interviews because Beer Mug is gold. And he's
God, I miss Psycho Mike.
Yeah.
Less than 30 minutes away from a world premiere here on the Kevin and Bean Show of a song called Adolescence by Incubus. It's been a while since we've heard from those guys. I'm very excited to hear what they're up to next. All right, this weekend there were two very different comedy shows that were going on across this this great country of ours. One of them we happened to be at, and that was the third annual Kevin and Bean April Foolishness. The place was packed, And you know what really impressed me, besides the fact that our friends that are comedians are so awesome to donate their time and come out and do this for us,
yeah,
is the audience loves it and stays till the end.
Yeah, they do. They're not there for one person. So
yeah.
They're just there for the night. So that makes it really great.
Because I was a little bit worried that, you know, guys like Bill Burr, who is amazing, is one of the funniest comics working today, and Jim Jeffries, who we've come to really know and love, with his appearances on this show. I was worried that they weren't big, big names. Everybody knows, you know, Ray Romano. Everybody knows Patton Oswalt. You know, Doug Benson. I mean, those are guys who've been around for a long time and have a pretty high profile. Jim and Bill, I think, are two of the best comics working today. I was terrified that a lot of people were going to get up and leave because they didn't know them. But I think at this point, people kind of have trust in the Bill, and it's going to be great. And there's a reason they're on the Bill. They wouldn't be there unless they were awesome. And everybody stayed till the end. And man, was it worth it for them.
It started off, the night started off with Jimmy Kimmel. And, Daniel Tosh.
Mm-hmm.
He made a video saying he couldn't be there because he doesn't like to leave his house in Seattle. And then Jimmy Kimmel came out, and Jimmy Kimmel tossed it to a video of himself saying that he's sorry he couldn't be there. And it was all about breast cancer awareness. Now, we got that video on Friday, this past Friday, the day before April Foolishness. And we watched it, and we were like, our charities are Wounded Warrior and Cedars-Sinai. Nick, you, not so much the breast. And Jimmy had already made the video for the breast cancer awareness. So we were like, what do we do with this? And then we couldn't get a hold of him. We emailed him. He's usually very prompt. Even if he just writes back a word or something, he'll get back to you. And he didn't get back to us, and we thought that was weird. And we were trying to figure out, what do we do? I mean, we can't play the video, but he obviously put a lot of work. He had giant fake boobs, and he was breastfeeding.
Very funny. Yeah, very funny.
It was really funny, but it was just for the wrong charity. And it was a serious, mistake. It wasn't, he didn't do it on purpose to be funny. So we met him back backstage just before, and we were like, hey, Jim, you know, the last 2 years we did breast cancer, but this year isn't breast cancer so much. And he's like, oh. So that was good. So then we tried to figure out a way to just weasel our way out of that one. And he blamed us. He's like, so you gave up on breast cancer research after 2 years? And that was pretty funny. But that was a weird 12, 24 hours right there.
Yes, it was.
We were trying to figure out, what's going on? And does he know? And then is it our fault? Did we tell him the wrong thing? And then he put in a lot of work. And now he's going to be angry. Not that he gets angry, but, you know, you don't want to be our
waste his
fault.
Time, right? He's busy and he's giving us his time.
I'm proud to say and happy to say it wasn't us. It was him.
It wasn't us this time.
Come on! We didn't screw up.
I wasn't lying when I said how bad Jimmy looks in person now that you're used to seeing him all made up on high-def television. He looks really good on the TV. You see him in person. He looks about 90 years old.
I think he's right, though, is that he always looks bad in person.
Maybe that's what it is.
He told us that. And it's just like, yeah, I have always looked this way. We're like, I don't know. You look like you're a little beat up. His hair is all messy. You
know. He did look like he just rolled out of bed. So Jimmy Kimmel comes out. He does his video. Very funny. He was totally bagging on us, too, by the way, as being the guys who are wearing shorts to work at our age. Yeah. It's so embarrassing. Then Ray Romano comes out. And I don't know what the deal is with Ray. And Kevin, you're actual very good personal friends with Ray. I don't understand how he cannot be confident in his stand-up and how he can be nervous and a wreck every single time before he goes out on stage. He's a master. He owned that crowd every second he was up on that stage.
He's done stand-up for a lot of years, but he's afraid of our audience. I think he's used to people that are our age coming up to him and saying, "Hey, you're Ray Romano. My mom loves you."
Oh.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. And that's his big fear, is that he's not going to be able to relate to the younger crowd, in air quotes. And mm-hmm. So he insists on going early because he doesn't want him to be drunk. And I mean,
He could not have been any funnier than he was. And the crowd could not have appreciated what he did more.
Yeah, he could have done another hour. He has material for days, but I don't know why. But then afterwards, he came off and he said, "You know, I'm always nervous before I do this, but it was a lot of fun. This is a great crowd."
Yeah. Patton Oswalt came out, who may be the best, no offense to anyone on the bill or anywhere, but Patton Oswalt may be the best comic working today. And he was unbelievable. Unbelievable.
On his deathbed,
yeah. He came out. Just razor, razor sharp. Then we got to Steve-O. Well, first of all, I missed one of the highlights tonight with the Axes of Awesome, who's a band that very few people, a musical act comedy trio that we had on our show last week, very few people are even familiar with the Axes of Awesome. We weren't even familiar with them until Ralph turned us on to them earlier this year. Standing ovation for those guys at the Gibson on Saturday night.
I was a little nervous about that one because you don't know how it's going to go over. They don't have the name recognition that other people
right.
have. So you go, wow, sure hope it goes over well. Sure want it to, and it did.
And when you're doing musical comedy, you know, most people who try to do parody songs are not funny, and you get, you know, 45 seconds into it, and if the song is not funny, then right. the rest of the song seems very, very long, and you're just sitting on your hands just begging for it to end, right? These guys, every song was great, and they totally won over that crowd. It was amazing. Steve-O came out. Now, Steve-O was legitimately nervous.
Yeah.
Because, as he told us on Friday when he was on our show, he's never played to a crowd anywhere near that big before. I mean, this is a really big deal for a guy who essentially has only been doing stand-up for how long? For 9 months or something?
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
He just kicked off his stand-up. The advantage that Steve-O has is that he has led a ridiculous life, and he has lots of totally inappropriate stories to tell about the things that he's done. And, you know, he was nervous, but I was really impressed with how the crowd, you know, kind of hung in there with him for a guy who has not been doing it very long and really, I think, really propped him up. And he ended up getting almost a standing ovation for that bar trick that he did at the end, too.
Yeah, it was pretty impressive. And then he lit himself on fire. That was impressive as well. No, he didn't light himself on fire. That was against the rules.
Right, so that, he wouldn't have done that.
That
he wouldn't have done that.
Right.
So you go from the soberest guy in the world to the most stoned guy in the world when Doug Benson came out. And Benson was hilarious. He looked like he was going to fall asleep on stage.
Yeah. No one's ever been higher.
No one has ever been higher. And he was great. So who comes on after him? I think it was Jim Jefferies came on after him. And another guy that a lot of people hadn't had to see before. And there were people crying. They were laughing so hard. Lisa, what was it like in your section when Jim Jefferies was up there?
I thought, well, there were parts that were really funny, but I had some friends that were really offended.
Yeah. I got a few offended emails.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? You can't make everybody happy.
Exactly.
He and Bill Burr both definitely pushed buttons. It definitely, I mean, I love the kind of comedy where people are really uncomfortable, yet
too.
They can't deny how funny it is.
They stomp right across the line. They know where the line is,
mm-hmm.
and they don't just tiptoe across it. They stomp across it, and then they challenge you not to laugh.
Right.
Yes, exactly. Because you know how wrong it is, the things that they're saying, and you know that you're going straight to hell if you do laugh at these jokes. But Jim Jefferies and Bill Burr, what an unbelievable way to close out a show.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, those guys were great. I mean, every year we say this, but I mean, it's the single best night of comedy on any stage, anywhere in America, all year long. And I can't believe these guys are generous enough to donate their time.
Well, and that's something else that we wanted to mention is that I do know Ray relatively well. He gets asked to do charity events all the time. This is not the top comedians really do a lot of charity. So it's not like it's a one-off and everything else. I mean, they do charity gig here, charity gig there. Yeah. They end up doing it for free a lot. And that's what helped us raise money for the two and maybe the third, if Jimmy is going to force it in, charities, you know, because they all donated their time. And that was really cool.
Yeah.
It was really cool of them to show up that way.
Well, thanks to everybody who came out and supported the cause. And you know, God willing, we'll get a chance to do it again next year, put up a new lineup for you, and raise a lot of money for charity. But it was really, really, really a funny time. And one final note, because we do every year get tons of emails and you know, people call up and ask if there's any way we're going to be selling a DVD or, you know, making it a podcast or anything. That's not something that we have worked out with them. And, you know, the comedians don't necessarily want to give away the act, but it sure is fun for those of us that are lucky enough to be there and see it in person.
Next year, Charlie Sheen on the bill.
Who's with you? Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Our friend Dr. Drew on the program later on today, and Gary Busey will be here as well. Plus, we've got a world premiere, brand new music from Incubus this hour. Their album is called If Not Now, When?
Oh, I thought it was Ted.
No, that was last hour. This hour.
Oh, I see.
If Not Now... Oh. When?
Oh, I see. So when you told us it was Ted,
right?
You were kidding?
I was in unbelievably wrong.
Oh. About
that, yes. I misread the title.
I like to stay current.
I do.
Except when I'm spreading bad information on the airwaves.
It was strongly worded letter coming your way, sir.
Strongly worded letter. It wasn't Ted so much as it was TBD, not TED. Uh-huh. To Be Determined was the album title an hour ago that I misread. But now we know what it is. It's If Not Now, When.
What would you say would be a bigger mistake? Daylight savings time instead of saving time? Or Ted versus now is the hour of our discontent, or whatever you just said?
Mine was an actual mistake, out of ignorance. My complaint with the daylight savings is that people know what's right and they say it wrong.
It's fine.
Okay.
Oh, hi, glass house. Here's your bag of rocks. Start throwing.
Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Monday. Kevin and Bean Show, what you talking about?
I'm talking about the movies of the box office, as I do every Monday morning. Top 10 movies this weekend. Big surprise to me. I thought it would do okay, but I didn't know it would make almost $40 million. Hop was number one. Hop! I wonder how many of those people thought they were going to the House of Pancakes. People were mistaken. They were going in for breakfast, and they ended up being a movie about a bunny. Like, what? There's the syrup?
When did they take my order?
But $38.2 million made it number one. Source Code was number two at the box office, $15 million. Insidious was third. Diary of a Wimpy Kid. Roderick Rules was fourth. And Limitless rounds out the top five. The Lincoln Lawyer, Sucker Punch, Rango, Paul, and Battle Los Angeles are your top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Well, Charlie Sheen kicked off his I Am Victory, Hear Me Roar tour, or whatever the hell it's called, Violent Torpedo of Truth. And didn't go so well opening night in Detroit. EW.com, by the way, Entertainment Weekly's website, has a great minute-by-minute account of everything that happened on stage in the first show, and it's wildly entertaining. If, like me, you think Charlie's sort of a burnout tool.
The review is entertaining, not the show.
No, exactly. Right. Yes, the review is. They go minute by minute. Talk about they had a comedian open for Charlie. He had an opening act.
Really?
Yeah. And that guy started getting booed almost immediately. Well, he's telling jokes like, why do they call it a defibrillator? Shouldn't they call it a defibrillator now?
Really? That was one of his jokes?
Yes.
Wow.
Then Charlie Sheen came out on stage and told everyone to give the comedian a chance. Everyone's cheering for Charlie Sheen when he walks out and he goes, I'll be right back after this guy's done. And he leaves the stage again, which was like, hey, don't be on my side, Charlie. Don't do me any favors. Because you just brought out the main act, and then you've left again saying, I'll be back when this guy's done. And they booed him off the stage, literally booed him off the stage. Then Charlie came out and started doing, you know, his rants. This was one of them. He said, the audience is going to get freedom from a monkey-eyed, sweat-eating whores. Freedom from the dour and sour taste of malignant reproach. I am a giant and leaky bag of mayhem.
My success rate is 100%. Do the math.
He's a giant bag of something, but I don't think it's mayhem. Then people started booing early on in the production. Charlie said to one of the people who was heckling him, I already got your money, dude. That's a way to ingratiate yourself with the audience.
That's a key moment right there. That says a lot about where Charlie Sheen's at.
He started playing a video of him playing Call of Duty at home. He showed videos throughout the evening. Him playing
Here's
videos.
Me playing Call of Duty. Really?
Yeah.
How's that? How did he decide on that?
He told Detroit that that was a good place to tell some crack stories. He said, I've got some stories about crack. The audience started to boo. He admonished them by saying, "You already paid your hard-earned money without knowing what the show is about, so let me just do what I do."
What is it that he does?
We're not sure yet. The evening, by all accounts, was an unmitigated disaster. And then he went on to Chicago, and apparently that went better.
Oh.
Yeah.
Really?
Apparently he just sat in a chair and was interviewed for the entire show.
That was smart, is to have somebody else control the flow of the thing. I mean, because Charlie can be an entertaining guest. He's just a terrible host.
Yeah. Huh. So things went better for him in Chicago. I think there was also a certain amount of backlash, because I'm sure everyone in Chicago heard about Detroit. And they said, if they're Charlie Sheen fans, they said, we're going to support him no matter what. And we'll go out there and we're going to be the opposite of what Detroit was. So,
right.
We'll see what happens as the tour goes on. But
by the way, the people who are screaming and leaving the theater in droves from Detroit, they don't deserve a refund.
No, they do not.
You're an idiot if you bought a ticket to this show and expected anything other than what you got.
I absolutely agree.
Boom.
Boom indeed. Turns out Sting's a bit of a dick. Who could have guessed?
Yeah.
Apparently, the New York Post reports that the singer was taking a Broadway play the other night, and a 12-year-old kid came up to him to give him a compliment. Apparently, he had a 12-year-old fan who wanted to meet his idol, Sting. And witnesses say he wasn't exactly grateful or gracious. He kept pretending it wasn't Sting.
What?
He kept pretending he wasn't Sting. That's he kept saying me? To the kid, I'm not Sting. No, I'm not Sting. I'm just some British dude. I'm not Sting. He wouldn't sign an autograph, wouldn't acknowledge that he was Sting to this kid. Kid kept saying, yes, I know you are, and I'm a big fan. Like, no, that's not me.
12.
Not me. Kept walking. 12.
Wow.
12. Really, Sting?
Wow.
Really? Couldn't take time out from your tantra sex or whatever the hell you're doing. You sign an autograph for a 12-year-old.
That's weird.
So people standing around were disappointed by his behavior.
You don't want to be that guy. Nobody wants to be that guy.
That's right. It's you don't want to be him. We should do a phone topic someday of meeting your heroes. Like, biggest disappointments.
Yeah.
And how they let you down. Because sometimes you don't want to meet your heroes. Because if they turn out to be a dick.
Then you go, wow, I like them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I remember when doing this show, one of the cool parts is you meet a lot of people over the years. And I will never forget when we had George Carlin come in before he passed away. Legendary comedian George Carlin. He has been one of my heroes since I was a little kid. Just a genius.
Right.
Doesn't take anything away from that.
Right.
But I don't know if you remember when he came in to do the promotions for his book, Brain Droppings. He came into the show.
I remember that he was here, but I don't
know. Came in the studio to be the guest. In between interview sections, during the songs and the commercials, pulled out a newspaper, put it up in front of his face, and just read the newspaper. Wouldn't talk to any of us in between the breaks. Then he put it down, and he would sell his book, and he would do the interview. But every time they turned the mics off, he would pull out a newspaper and put it in front of his face, and was like, don't talk to me. I was heartbroken.
Yeah.
I wanted to meet George Carlin and have him be a cool dude. But he was just a cranky old man.
Because, you know, in your mind, you had visions. You guys were going out for breakfast after the show. You were going to exchange phone numbers.
Or, I know this is crazy, a conversation could be had. Maybe that could happen. And I brought in my Brain Droppings book and had him sign it for me. And he didn't. I said, my name's Ralph. Didn't look at me, didn't ask me questions, just signed it and then handed it back sort of like without making any eye contact.
Wow.
I was like, wow, that's a bummer. But in better news, Ringo Starr, former Beatle, made a kid's life. Apparently here in Hollywood at the Hard Rock Cafe, there was a 17-year-old drummer who was a survivor of brain cancer, was when he was a kid part of the Make-A-Wish Foundation. And Ringo presented him with a brand new Ludwig drum set. Ludwig is the brand that Ringo uses, and had signed it for him and met the kid, and they had a big ceremony to raise money for the Make-A-Wish Foundation. Apparently he's very involved in that charity.
That's cool.
And last week, he granted wishes for 6 other children. Last week, he did that. So suck it, Sting! Ringo's making kids' wishes come true.
Is it just that the Make-A-Wish kids all want to meet the Beatles, and there's only 2 of them left, so Ringo's got a lot of work to do? Disproportionate amount of work.
Yeah, so they're flying them all over the country. I don't know if you saw Saturday Live this weekend or not. I didn't either, but I saw a clip, which was a very funny segment, where they said England was being attacked by dragons for the first time in hundreds of years.
Yeah.
And so for the first time ever, the Prime Minister has called together the Knights of the Realm, the people they give knighthoods to, and actually have to make them do something. They have to figure out how to kill this dragon. And so Elton John was the musical guest. He was playing himself as Sir Elton John, and they had Tom Hanks as Michael Caine.
No kidding.
And Fred Armiston was playing Ringo. He said, I think we should try love, because love conquers everything. not a bloody dragon, Ringo! And you're not a knight. What are you doing? Running Big with Ringo's never been knighted, but it showed up anyway. Very funny, very funny segment. Funny. Today's celebrity birthdays: Craig T. Nelson, 67 years old today. Christine Lottie was 61. David E. Kelly's 55. Hugo Weaving is 51 years old. David Cross turns 47. Robert Downey Jr., RDJ, as we call him around the house. He's 46 years old today. Barry Pepper is 41. David Blaine, the magician, is 38. Natasha Lyonne, very talented actress, is 32. And Jamie Lynn Spears, the baby sister of Britney, is 20 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I'm Walking Showbiz.
Dr. Drew Pinsky joins us on the show next hour. Gary Busey, the hour after that. You're listening to an all-new Kevin Bean show for a Monday. And the world's greatest drunk dial call coming up in about 10 minutes.
By the way, that was The Adolescents by Incubus. And we're going to play again a little bit later.
How about that, by the way? World premiere, brand new Incubus. Thank you for reminding me of that. That is from their forthcoming album called If Not Now, When, which will be out in July. That is a world premiere and exclusive. And we'll have that for you coming up again in a few minutes. God, I love those guys. And I'm so happy when they have a new record out. All right, let's talk about our man Larry Flint. You guys know Larry? You remember him in the wheelchair with the porn empire?
Sure.
He's the guy behind Hustler. They made the People vs. Larry Flint movie with Woody Harrelson playing him a few years ago. Unbelievably successful guy. Well, he's in a little bit of trouble with the OSHA department, California Division of Occupational Safety and Health officials visited one of his production companies where they make the porn movies and said, hey, we're fining you because you're not providing condoms or protective equipment to your performers. A lot of scares, of course, in the porn world because of HIV in particular and other diseases. And they say, hey, you got to make condoms available.
I thought that was required now, no?
I don't know, but we do have Larry on the phone. Oh. Maybe he can tell us what the difference is. Mr. Flint, it's been a long time since we talked to you. How are you, sir?
Good morning, Kevin Bean. How are you?
We're good. Thank you.
sorry to see you in the news. Get a visit from the feds. That's the last thing. Yeah. It seems like the government's always crawling up your ass about something.
Well, we have a video called that "Government Up Your Ass."
Right.
Remember to check out that line. But and it's just another example of federal government trying to, you know, put their foot on my neck and cause more problems.
Well, but Larry, you didn't have any condoms on the set. What if your performers ask for them? You still there's none there?
Well, we don't feature condoms in our videos.
Okay.
Because we find our consumers prefer it that way.
Okay.
And really, if you see the women in Hustler videos, catching AIDS is the least of your worries, really, with those women. You worry more about hoof and mouth.
Come on.
And, mad cow disease.
These are your own girls.
Yeah,
come on,
not,
Larry.
They're not good looking. They're largely just tattooed, skanky whores.
Okay, but they...
You should get a tetanus shot, really, before you have sex with these women. You get lockjaw.
Right. But I think a lot of people, especially with that HIV scare in the porn world last year in the San Fernando Valley, a lot of people were saying, hey, it just makes good sense to make it available to those that want it.
Well, most people on our sets don't worry about AIDS.
They don't.
They worry about Glades air fresheners because these women do not smell good.
Oh, Larry, come on.
Our candle budget is through the roof.
This is terrible.
Incense, burning anything, tires.
Wow.
Just anything to cover up the odor, really.
You burn tires?
Yeah. Smells better than most of the women.
That burns the eyes.
Yeah, well, so do they.
Hustler is a respected brand name in pornography, though. Why can't you get better-looking women?
Well, being, you know, you were in the jail series. The jail.
I was
bait
in Jail
series.
Bait 6, I think.
Yeah. He was.
And those women are just hideous.
Right, yeah. But they deserve to be protected, even if they're hideous.
Well, we give them a hard hat when they get on the set.
Okay.
And I do hand out Kevlar dental dams.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't Kevlar. Even know what those are for. But if anyone should be forced to use condoms, isn't it Charlie Sheen?
Yes, absolutely.
Really? Sure.
The Kardashians.
Sure.
Well, let's start where the problem really is first. Let's keep these people from procreating before
I
we
agree.
Attack the porn industry. Let's make sure Chelsea Handler doesn't have any children.
Well, I mean,
we
worry about anything else. We can't do that all at the same time?
No, I mean... AIDS is getting a bad rap, I think.
How can it get a bad rap?
Well, you can't spell Kool-Aid without AIDS. I love Kool-Aid. It's delicious.
Okay.
How about marmalades? They're tasty.
Right.
Band-Aids come in handy when you have a scrape on your knee.
Okay. Is this going to be your defense when you take this to court, Larry?
I'm saying some AIDS are good. That's all I'm saying.
But not V-AIDS with the capital A, capital I-D-S, right?
No, so I'm going to have to buckle and acquiesce and just buckle in, and I'll provide a condom.
Okay, good.
I'd pay the fine and just move on.
So everybody can be happy.
That's good news.
Let me see what brand we're using. Let me walk over here and see what brand we're using.
Larry, don't try to get up.
I still can't walk.
Welcome to Monday Party, people. Kevin, this is a topic that is near and dear to your heart. Have you been on the receiving end or the dialing end of most drunk dialing in your life? Do you think?
More the dialing end.
Right. We've all gotten those calls from Kevin that then we have to explain to him the next day that he doesn't remember at all.
Yeah, and it's not the accidental one. It's the, you called me last night and you go, what? I did? Like, you mean to call somebody, but you're so drunk you don't remember. You don't know why. You think it's a funny bit at the time, whatever.
Right, exactly. This will be hilarious. So the reason we're talking about drunk dialing is there's a call that surfaced a couple of days ago that is just one of the funniest things I've ever heard in my life. Now, this girl named Dominic meets a guy named Ryan at a club or someplace, and the guy Ryan gives her apparently the wrong telephone number. And you'll know why Ryan gave her the wrong phone number when you hear the message that she left on the machine that she ended up calling with that phone number, thinking it was Ryan, but it wasn't. Now, apparently, if the story is to be believed, this got up on the internet because this guy who doesn't know Dominic has never met Dominic had the phone number that Ryan gave her.
Oh, that's such a stroke of luck.
I know. It is. And she is everything you ever loved about a drunk dial.
Hey, Ryan, it's Dominic. I met you tonight. You're so cute. Oh, my God. Ryan, I hope you remember me. You're so cute. You hit it off right away.
That's a little bit desperate, isn't it, Lisa, when you're so, I hope you remember me, please remember me.
I only met you
90 minutes ago.
Yeah. I met you tonight. What are the chances he doesn't remember her?
If she weren't drunk, she would never say that.
By the way, are we sure that this is not Paula Abdul?
It does. You're right. It does.
I love your shirt. And I think it's so funny. And I really, I've never felt that kind of chemistry before. And we both have the same interest in yo-yos. So you think that's funny? No one else likes yo-yos like we like yo-yos. Remember, and I hope you remember. You remember.
I would be so sad if I actually gave the real girl my real phone number and she called me.
I guarantee that dude wasn't into yo-yos.
I guarantee it too.
Lay it along.
It's so cute.
Yes, we are going to take your telephone calls if you have drunk dial stories. Either you left the message or you received the message. We do want to hear about it at 1-800-520-1067. Kevin, you tell me how much time we have for Dominic because I want to play as much of this call as we can because she's the best.
Anyways. I know you said that tomorrow's kind of crazy for you, you know, with all that stuff, you know.
And you know exactly what that means, is that Ryan was trying to get rid of her and said, oh, no, I'd love to see you again, but I'm so busy. I've got all those things to do.
Stuff.
Right.
But I'd love to get in touch with you this week, next week. Anyway, just reach out to me whenever you're free. I gave you my business card. I hope you remember. I work at eBay. eBay. That's E-B-A-Y.
Good.
eBay.
Got it.
I think you've heard of it. You said you remembered it, kind of. Anyway, Ryan, I hope you had a great rest of the night. You look so cute tonight in your little shirt.
And in her mind, she's been on the phone about 10 seconds,
your
right?
Your little shirt and your little pants.
Yes.
A little doll.
Yes. She has no... tell me she has no idea how this sounds to the person
zero.
On the other end.
Yeah.
She thinks this is just a real quick, hey, Dominic, it's me, call me back. Yep. I mean, that's what she thinks is going on in her mind.
I know you said you had to leave urgently. I hope everything's okay. I get indigestion sometimes. Too, so.
Yeah, Ryan made that up to get away from you.
I hope that, you know.
What?
You know, everything's good. But hope you have a great Friday night. You deserve a great weekend. And call me, email me, IM me,
fax
me, page me. You have all my contact information.
Okay, now let me stop right there and ask this question about the club scene these days. Do you really give someone your phone number, your fax number, your pager number, your email? I mean, every possible way that you would want to get in touch with somebody that you've just met that night?
Who still has a pager?
Who still has a fax machine? I know, right? That's how desperate Dominic was, though, to make sure that this poor dude called her back. It's terrible.
Wow. Can't wait to hear from you soon. Have a great night, Ryan. And I'll talk to you soon, okay? Oh, and if you need to get in touch with me, I'll be at Jamba Juice.
Okay, now I'm getting really confused because, first of all, I thought she was saying goodbye. I thought she had already established that I've given you every possible way you could ever need to get in contact with
me. She was out, but then she continued, yes.
Then she said, I guess because all those other reasons are electronic, those other ways to contact her are electronic, now she wants to talk about how you can get in touch with me in person at the Jamba Juice.
So, you know, where I work, Jamba Juice, that's J-A-M-B-A, B-A, Juice as in J, like,
Can't think of a single word that starts with J.
Like J as in shoot. Oh my gosh, you make me so nervous, Ryan. J as in juice.
U as in units. And by the way, what happened to her working at eBay? How did that not work out so fast?
All of a sudden, she's already lost her job and she's working at Jamba Juice.
Like the name. Oh, I love that name. I as in I. C as in cat.
C as in e. Okay. Wait, I was as in I.
Is she still spelling Jamba Juice?
Yes.
Well,
C was as in cat, and E is as in E.
So I'll be at Jamba Juice. Talk to you soon. And, I'd love to hear from you.
Right, got it.
Give me a call whenever. Right. I'm available.
All right.
I'm single.
Okay.
You know.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. Bye.
How could she be available and single?
That's
how somebody not snapped her right up.
That's a desperation level that you usually don't. You can sniff that one out. You can go, oh man.
I don't know that love of yo-yos. That sells me.
I need to get away from this woman. So 1-800-520-1067 is the number. If you drunk dialed or your friends drunk dialed you, give us a call right now. We'll talk to you.
I do not get drink. Now may I buy you a little drunk?
That was the call, message that Kevin left for me that night. Talking about drunk dialing, this awesome, awesome call that we just played for you with Dominic and Ryan here on the Kevin and Bean Show got us on the topic of drunk dialing. Everyone has done it or certainly received a call, and we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Sarah, you hang on. Devin, you hang on. Alex, where was it that we got that famous, now infamous, drunk dial call from Kevin?
Oh, was
it in Florida or something?
Oh, no. I think we have time. Mm. We were in Florida covering the MTV Video Music Awards. And I was there, and a girlfriend of mine was there, and when we're done the day sort of interviewing bands, we have, you know, time to go out to dinner and party and drink in Miami, and we had talked about meeting up later for a party at a bar, and you know how the night goes. You start at one bar, people separate, you try to meet back at the hotel.
I usually lose people quite quickly.
Yeah, Kevin is gone. We need a leash for him, like one of those kids in the mall. So I don't remember how we got separated. I just remember throughout the night getting calls from Kevin angry, like, where are you? I'm here. You're not here. I'm here. We talked about here. Where's here? Like, you were trying to get me to go there. And then you were quickly over me, and you realized, I know, I'm going to call Alex's girlfriend because she was the one I really talked about partying with. And then you proceeded to just berate her on the voice.
Like, I didn't berate her.
It was like happy, drunk, you know, sort of berating, like, where are you? We talked about the parties.
All I remember is there was a DJ and a drummer, and then they went off and took a break, and the DJ left on a CD, and I thought everyone would enjoy me playing the drums as much as I would enjoy it. So I sat down at the drums and started playing, and they kicked me out. I was like, this is my hotel. I'm staying here. I'm supposed to stay here.
Oh,
and then I didn't
have
my key.
This is my hotel. I own this hotel.
No, but
that's
I was
the
staying there.
I'm sure you were.
They were like, let me see your key. And I was like, I don't have my key right now. And it was just a disaster.
But the important thing, and what's great about drunk dialing, Kevin, is that you had no memory of making all of those phone calls, right? You found out about them the next day.
The next day or two, they would think, like, Alex called, and she's like, what was going on? I said, what are you talking about? I had no idea.
Kevin is total blackout, which I think is a gift.
Oh, not total.
From drinking. And so we would listen to these voicemails, and then Kevin would just cut himself off and then call back and then start like where he left off or in the middle of a thought.
See? Hey, at least I could do that then. I can't do that anymore here.
Let's talk to Sarah real quick. Line one, please, on the Kevin and Bean Show. 1-800-520-1067. Sarah, thank you for hanging on. It sounds like you were the victim of a drunk dialer, right?
Yes.
What happened?
I got, it was 2 o'clock in the morning, and I got several calls from a girl. She insisted that I had her phone.
And oh, and she was calling your phone and your phone number to get to you.
Yes. Well, she was insisting that I had her phone.
Oh, I see. What was she calling you on then? Someone else's phone?
No, it was my phone.
No, but I'm...
she was calling on a friend's phone.
On a friend's phone.
A friend's phone.
Okay.
Yeah.
So she said, why do you have my phone? And you said, you have the wrong number.
Yes.
And then, why didn't you turn off your phone? How many times did she call?
About 4 times.
4. All right.
Yeah. Good. But I had to keep my phone on, so...
Because? The drug deal?
No, in case of emergency.
Sure.
My husband worked late.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Well, you brought the story very much to life. Thank you, Sarah. I appreciate
that.
That's
exciting. I want to have a drink after listening to Sarah.
Let's try Devin. Devin drug dialed his dad. What happened, Devin? Uh-oh. What'd you tell him?
Well, it was after Christmas 2 years ago, and I got really drunk at my grandmother's house and then went to a friend's house for an after party with my brother.
Yeah.
And then we ended up smoking a lot of pot there. And then I drunk stone dialed my dad in my pocket, so I didn't even know I was doing this.
Oh, so it was an accident.
My whole entire conversation. About how I think Nicolas Cage is the best celebrity ever because he owns an island and $8 million in comics.
That makes him the best celebrity ever?
According to myself, completely belligerently drunk and stoned, yes.
Did your dad play you back the message so you could hear yourself?
Yes, because he, to this day, I think he still has that message.
Sweet. That's awesome. That's awesome.
That's sweet. He should.
Thank By the way, that's a great example. Thank you very much for the call, Devin. That's a fantastic example of the way your mind works when you're drunk. Because you Devin probably doesn't care about Nicolas Cage when he's sober. But
of
when
course.
You're drunk, you start thinking about, he has an island and $8 million worth of comic books. This dude is awesome. He's the best guy ever. I have to tell someone. That's how your mind works. All right. Mike has an interesting way that his story unfolded. Mike, we're talking about drunk dialing. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What happened?
Yes, how you doing?
Good.
Hi.
So, anyways, I get this phone call like around 3 o'clock in the morning, and this girl kept insisting that she had the right number, and the whole time she's trying to tell me her and her friend were interested in hanging out. So I said, what the heck, it's Tuesday night, let's go out and meet this girl.
Sweet.
So one thing led to another.
Wait, did you tell them that you were who they were looking for? Were they asking for somebody by name?
Yes, I kept insisting that it wasn't me.
And then finally you just said, all right, it's me.
It's me, let's meet up.
Sweet.
So, I mean, they were totally wasted because they couldn't remember what the guy looked like. I passed for him. So, one thing led to another. We had a couple of drinks. Everything was cool. And, one thing led to another, like I said.
Right, you just said that.
Multiple times you said that, but we still don't know what you mean.
Both of them. So I ended up dating them for about 3 months, both of them.
You dated both of the girls for 3 months?
Yes.
Were they running some sort of scam on you?
I don't really know, but one of the girls was about to get married.
Wow. Okay, so let me make sure. Let me translate this for folks who don't speak Mike. Phone call comes out of the blue. They think they're calling somebody else. They're not. They're calling you. You end up dating, which is code for having sex with both of these girls for a period of about 3 months after they randomly called your number?
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mike, come on.
Wow.
See, there's a happy ending to drunk dialing sometimes. Well done.
Yes, sometimes there is.
So, I didn't, huh?
Are you sometimes there is, he said. Speaking of David Grohl, he'll be here tomorrow about this time on the Kevin and Bean Show, along with the director of his documentary.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Sure.
What?
Yeah, him and Gary Busey. Everybody's going to stop by.
Gary Busey's coming today.
All the fictional characters that we interview will be stopping by.
Uh-huh.
And then
Dave Grohl and director James Maul from the Foo Fighters Back and Forth documentary. And we'll give you tickets for that next hour, and
Brad
you'll
Pitt
hear
and
them.
Angelina are going to stop by tomorrow, too.
Surreal.
Everybody's going to come in.
Dude, we're not live. We do have Zooey Deschanel on tomorrow's show. And we are also going to ask a dream interpreter on tomorrow's show. So we got a lot of stuff coming up on the Kevin and Bean program. Right now, Rob is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Speaking of things coming up, and I don't mean that as a euphemism.
Yeah.
This weekend, very exciting for me. The Los Angeles premiere of Kevin Smith's new movie, Red State, happens this weekend.
I don't give a
Oh, come on. Saturday night, April 9th at the Wiltern Theater. It is the premiere screening of Red State here in Los Angeles, along with a Q&A with not only the director, and my buddy Kevin Smith, but the entire cast is going to be there as well.
Michael, tasty! I'm in! Where do I get tickets?
Michael Parks, myself, Melissa Leo, Stephen Root.
What time is that?
John Goodman, Kevin Pollak. I mean, it's going to be star-studded. I really have no business being on the stage with these people, but I will be there as well. And I'd love to have some K-Rock listeners and some Kevin Smith fans attend the show with me. See the movie. See the Q&A afterwards. It's an entire evening of hilarious entertainment.
Kevin, do you ask because you're thinking of going?
Well, Kevin Smith texted me, and he said, April 9th, see you then.
The assumptive close. Yeah. God bless him. So,
but there's a Kings game, so I'm saying, what time does it start?
Never mind with
what
you.
Time
never mind with you.
I'm asking what time. Can
there's
I still
82
make it?
Hockey games a year. There's
the
only
one
Los
final
Angeles one. Premiere.
Final regular season.
It doesn't matter. They're going to the playoffs for the first time in 42
years.
How dare
you? They were there last year.
They're going to the playoffs.
Right. I'm going to be there.
Anyway, I want to give him away to a real Kevin Smith fan, not just throw him out there in the ether and have someone pick him up.
Okay.
So here's your trivia question. Kevin Smith trivia. Kevin Smith, of course, has directed 10 or so films.
Yes.
He also has directed some television work and some music video work, not known for his music video work. However, he starred in and directed a music video for a one-hit wonder artist that we used to play on this very show.
Casey and the Sunshine Band.
No, it's not Casey and the Sunshine Band. I'll give you a hint. It is a pot-related song. A pot-related one-hit wonder. Kevin stars in and directed the video for. If you can name me the song and artist, call right now. 1-800-520-1067. If you have the right answer, I will give you a pair of passes to go to the L.A. premiere of Red State. The Red State Q&A tour this Saturday night, April 9th at the Wiltern. And if you don't win, you can go to livenation.com for more.
Kenneth Babyface Edmonds?
No, that's not correct.
Rebecca Black.
It's right not now. Rebecca Black.
All right. No.
Charlie Sheen. Oh, Charlie.
Yeah!
I guess he's 50-50. He's one for two.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I thought he'd be 2 for 2 by
I
now.
I did, too.
I was convinced of it.
I was hoping Detroit would be the prophecy of things to come in his tour. That went horribly, horribly wrong. Apparently, Chicago on Sunday night did not go nearly as poorly. In fact, some people said they actually enjoyed it.
Aww.
But the Detroit show, he had to leave the stage early because he got booed off. People were streaming for the exits. People just completely just disgusted with his antics.
Oh.
And I brought in some audio. Some people were kind enough to record the experience for us. And here is, you'll hear the crowd screaming, booing, Charlie trying to talk. And then you'll hear how he ingratiates himself to the audience of Detroit at the very end.
Grizzly 2, the Predator.
Idiot!
Nobody has called me to say, first of all, say you're fired. And second, to say you, Detroit.
Yeah, F you, Detroit. Is that how you close that little chunk? That's the way to get the crowd back on your side, Charlie.
Sweet.
Yeah.
This
idiot!
Is exactly what we predicted, by the way, is that he would be booed early on in the show because he didn't have anything to say.
He has no act.
Right.
Yeah. But apparently in Chicago, he had less of an act. In this show, he showed video clips, and he had a rapper that came out, and there was a stand-up comedian who opened for him, and he tried to do, like, a variety show. Chicago, apparently, just sat on the stage, had a dude interview him, and he just talked. And people said they enjoyed that more. Not me.
Yeah.
But people in Chicago. So we'll see what happens with the rest of the tour. Just those are the first two dates of 21. So I'm sure there will be a lot more news coming from the Charlie Sheen.
That means I lost the bet.
This Is It tour, or whatever they're calling it.
I think it's This Is It.
This Is It?
Yeah, when he says This Is It.
Sounds familiar. Do we have an answer to my trivia question?
We do, as a matter of fact.
Maria?
Yeah, hi.
Are you a Kevin Smith fan?
I so am.
What was the name of the song and artist of the video that he starred in and directed?
It was Afro Man, Because I Got High.
Because I Got High, Afro Man. Yeah, how about that? Congratulations. Hold on. We're going to give you all the details, but I will see you Saturday night at the Red State screening and Q&A, okay?
Thank you.
All righty. Thanks so much. Because I Got High.
How about that? I didn't know that.
You didn't? Ha!
No.
I albeaned bean.
Wow.
I beaned bean.
Hey, Ralph, before you sign off, I just want to remind folks again, we world premiered the brand new song from Incubus called Adolescence. We will play it again right after this report.
Take a look at the weekend's box office really quickly before we get to birthdays. Hop was number one, $38.2 million. Then Source Code came in at number two. Insidious, and its debut was third. Diary of a Wimpy Kid, Roderick Rules, and Limitless rounded out the top five. Then Lincoln Lawyer, Sucker Punch, Rango, Paul, and Battle Los Angeles rounding out the top 10. Today's celebrity birthdays are as follows. Craig T. Nelson is 67 years old today. David E. Kelly, writer and producer, is 55. Robert Downey Jr. celebrates his 46th birthday. David Cross is 47. Barry Pepper turns 41. David Blaine, magician, is 38. Natasha Lyonne is 32. And Jamie Lynn Spears from Zoe 101 and also the Spears train wreck of a family.
Dynasty.
She is 20. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
The care. Banned beer at ball games?
Plenty of hand-wringing and proposed solutions for Dodger Stadium violence. Opening night, a Giants fan was beaten within an inch of his life. There's a $10,000 reward for the two suspects in that. Trying to avoid violence and talk, LA SWAT surrounding a complex in Sylmar after, they say, a domestic violence suspect critically wounded a policeman. Southwest inspecting the metal on its 737-300s. One of those older jets had a piece rip off in flight.
Horrible noise, then the bags come.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it's 10 minutes after 8.
If you're thinking to yourself, hey, that song, I don't know that song, but it sounds awfully Incubus-y. I wonder what that could be about. Well, it's the brand new one from Incubus, and it is called Adolescence from their album If Not Now, When, coming out on July 12th. That is a world premiere here on The Kevin and Bean Show, the only place in the world to hear that song today. Brand new Incubus. All right, it's Monday. Harvey Levin from TMZ.com coming up. Also, the great Gary Busey will join us right now. Somebody call a doctor.
Somebody call for a doctor.
I'm the doctor.
Hey, I'm the doctor, baby.
Doctor, please.
He's the one that calls like a bitch. He's the one that makes you feel all right.
I need a doctor. Call me a doctor.
Dr. Drew in the hizzy.
By the way, I don't think this doctor is the one that makes his doctor feel good. I don't think so.
I don't think so either. Dr. Drew, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
I'm great, gentlemen. Thank you for having me.
Sure. I'm so delighted that finally there's an outlet for the news that you're trying to share with the world. Finally, somebody puts a microphone in front of your face.
Thank you for that, Bean. I appreciate it.
Dr. Drew is debuting a new television show, believe it or not, tonight on CNN Headline News. And let me tell you why Dr. Drew is one of the most brilliant and handsome men that I've ever met. He puts his show on between Nancy Grace and Joy Behar. How great is this guy going to look?
Thank you for that. And the only male in the HLN lineup, too. It's pretty nice.
Wow.
Yeah. What's going on here, Dr. Drew? I mean, you certainly have a platform with all your other television and radio appearances. Why did you feel you needed a new show?
Well, I mean, a couple things. One is, whenever people ask me what my favorite thing has been to do amongst all these things I've done, my very favorite thing was when I sat in for Larry King or sat in for Joy Behar. It's very challenging to run a TV talk show, and it's closer to radio, which is my primary, you know, the thing I love the most. And so I've been commenting in these other show, environments for many, many years, and finally I'm going to have my own to just, you know, talk about the stories of the day, the people, the core of the stories of the day, and not have to go on other people's shows to talk about it.
So in other words, why give it away for free to places like the Today Show when you can actually get paid by CNN to go on and say the exact same stuff?
That's what I said, didn't I, Bean? Isn't that it?
Yeah. Tonight is your first show. Are you going to be doing it live?
No, we're going to be live to tape for a while, and hopefully one of these days get to live. Because live, you know, again, like radio, it's just much more immediate, much more fun, much more dynamic, I think. And I suppose we'll be talking. I haven't been into the studio yet, so I don't know what their final decisions are about what we're going to talk about tonight. But I imagine it's going to be some Charlie Sheen.
Okay.
I'm just guessing.
Let me wait a minute. Hold on a second. So your first show is tonight. And you have no idea what it's about.
No, not no idea. We've done some shows last week, and I don't know which one of those they're going to air tonight.
I see.
This is the way this show is going to go. They're going to decide what's the most interesting story of the day and try to get some of the people that are involved in that.
I got you.
So, and today I have a feeling after Charlie's big weekend, it'll be Charlie.
Yeah.
And this is interesting because we've talked to you a great deal about Charlie and about how eventually he has to come down from this this thing that he's going through right now. But so far, he still seems to be holding it together and not relapsing into drugs. And some would say after the performance last night in Chicago, he's doing better than we expected.
He is. I mean, the Detroit experience was about what you expected.
Yes.
Last night, a little better. There's a YouTube video. I don't know if you saw it this morning, guys, that he put out. It's very funny. I suggest
no.
You check it out. It's Ralph, get back there and look at it right now.
What is it?
I don't know. I got the link through Twitter. I don't know what it's even titled, but it's very, very funny. And he's making fun of himself and his manicness, frankly. And, you know, again, a lot of people, you know what I started thinking about this weekend, and this is probably what I'll talk about on the show today, which is how, you know, major historical figures, people have rallied behind manic people throughout history, frankly. And, you know, whether you talk about Lenin or God knows who, you know, the Abraham Lincoln. They, you know, these all had bipolar disorder. And at least that's the speculation. And, you know, they're very infectious people to be around. The problem is he was so disorganized and so hypomanic that it wasn't even making sense. And his liability is that when he comes down off that, he'll start using drugs again, which is usually what happens.
Right. Are you surprised that he has remained as apparently healthy as he is since he'd been fired for 2.5 minutes? Or did you think the crash would come already?
My eye tells me somebody's put him on some medication. And hopefully it's the right stuff. But usually, you know, the only kind of medicines a guy like that will take have addictive potential. So they stabilize for about 3 months, and then they implode. So I think we got about 3 months to go before things start to really flare again.
We are talking to our friend Dr. Drew Pinsky on the Kevin Bean Show right now. His new show debuts at 9 o'clock tonight, East and West Coast time, on Headline News at CNN. By the way, now that you're part of the CNN family, who wins in a throwdown between you and Dr. Sanjay Gupta?
I'll just defer to Gupta. He's the man.
Gupta's the man. All right.
That's good. Actual throwdown, I think it might be me, but I'll just defer to him.
That's true. Physically, you can take him, right?
I think so.
Well, Dr. Drew, we're...
You find that really amusing?
Yes, absolutely.
I do. Are you kidding? That's the first thing I thought is these two have got to square off. They've got to put these guys in the octagon and see who's the best doctor.
The first thing you thought about when you heard on a show on CNN is me doing an octagon throwdown with Big Sanjay Gupta.
Yes.
Absolutely.
So
You're right. It's worse than I thought, Bane.
I'm telling you, that's a pay-per-view waiting to happen, and if you don't do it, you're leaving money on the table, Doctor.
Oh, my God.
Dr. Drew, headline news tonight at 9. Can't wait to see what it's all about, man. Thanks for coming on, as always.
Thank you so much, Evan.
Oh, I've dreamed about this moment since I was a little boy.
Who said that?
Bean.
That's Bean.
Hey, Gary
There's
Busey.
The camera.
Hey, Gary
the
Busey.
The guy who's not here in the studio.
Hey, Bean, I got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Is the reason you're not here is because you lost a bet?
It was actually at our request, actually.
It's a restraining order issue.
In a way, the rest of the show won a bet. That's what happened. That's how come I had to move out of the state. Yes, Gary. I'm sorry I can't be there in person to shake your hand, sir.
Well, me too. But give me a vision of what are you wearing right now?
Nope. That's the wrong guy to ask.
That's a terrible way to start. You don't want to know, Gary. Seriously, people are eating.
Wow.
Gary Busey is here because, A, he's a legend. B, he's on the current season of Celebrity Apprentice.
Yay!
And I was on the edge of my seat last night thinking, don't make this mistake and fire Gary Busey from this show, and then I won't watch anymore because you're the reason we're tuning in, Gary Busey.
Well, I'm having so much fun doing that, and there's three things you do when you do the Celebrity Apprentice. You pray for the best, you prepare for the worst, and you expect the unexpected with sleep deprivation.
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm.
It's like being in Donald J. Trump's boot camp for business.
Yeah.
And there's there's deadlines and there are target areas. You have to be here at this time, be here at this time, be here at this time, then go to the boardroom and hear the execution plans for that one person.
And that has to be
fired.
Very different than your regular schedule, which isn't that regimented, I would imagine.
Well, you know what? I've been doing movies and entertainment for 41 years, and I know how to acclimate to the time zone. I know how to travel internationally without arriving sleepy and jet-lagged.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's just the preparation of your body clock with the clock that you're going through in your normal life. And I call it normal, even though it's not normal. I'm not normal, but who cares?
But you guys are working like 16-hour days on The Apprentice, right?
What?
You're working like 16-hour days, right?
24 hours. I mean, I was going to bed at 8:30. I would get a grilled cheese sandwich and dip it in vegetable soup and go to bed, get up at 5 a.m., put on the makeup and the suit, go out to see Donald Ivanka and Donald Trump Jr., hear what the task is, and then go to the war room where we would discuss how we're going to do the task with a project manager.
Mm-hmm.
It was full of fun and games, unexpected stuff, unpredictable stuff, rug
right,
pulled out from under you.
Speaking of that, Gary,
who is
you're
that?
Watching.
That's somebody
it's
talking
still
about
Bean. Still Bean. Still Bean.
Still
Bean.
Still
Bean.
Right.
I know because I'm not there. I'm not there. I'm in
you
Seattle.
You should have a head floating around in here or something.
We'll work on that.
Here's my question for you, Gary. You're watching The Celebrity Apprentice as it is edited and put on TV each Sunday night, right? You've been tuning in to see how the show is presented to us, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Has it been a surprise to you the way it is edited and some of the things that you maybe didn't see when you were living through it, the things that your other team members say about you, the way that you are perceived by your other team members? Has that been a surprise to you, disappointment, what you expected?
No, not disappointing, not surprising, just the way it is. What I'm finding out after watching last night's show, how jealous and afraid they are of me. because my approach is very mysterious, and that's what Mr. Trump said last night. And when he said it, I leaned in and said, that's right, mysterious. They don't know what my flight plan is, and neither do I.
But the truth is, and I'm not telling you something you haven't heard before, the truth is those of us watching the show don't know if you are crazy or crazy like a fox. Are you playing these other contestants? Are you pulling them into your web with the way you handle things?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Anyone believe that? Anyone buy that? Anyone in the room on board?
Absolutely. It doesn't matter if anyone believes it. I just know it's the truth. And the great thing about the truth, Mr. Bean, is that the truth requires no questions.
Do you have an anagram for truth?
You have a Buseyism for truth?
Yeah, it's called taking real understanding to heart.
Oh, there you go.
That's very nice.
Well,
that's
right. When did you start doing those?
I was several years ago. It was several years ago. I was sitting in the house and I was thinking about all these things that made me miserable, and the failure here, and the failure here, and the bad choice here. And I was beating myself up emotionally, and then I realized, you know what, Gary? That's all in the past. That's not here anymore. Except you're bringing it up to live in it again. And I said to myself, where am I now? Where are you now? Where are you now? Now. That's it, now. I'm in the now. And I said, oh, my God, that's great. Now, N-O-W stands for no other way. And when you're in the moment of now, you're present with yourself and with others. But the trick is, and the reality is, and the truth is, the moment of now keeps moving. So you have to stay in that center of now by moving with it. Don't take anything personal that's said about you or rumors. Let everything know, let everyone know, let every place know that you accept them with great respect. It's like what they call doing to others as you would have others doing to you. And
right.
They call it the golden rule, and I understand what that means. But that rule to me is priceless.
I hate to say it, but that made a lot of sense, Gary.
Yeah,
that whole thing, I may go back and listen to that again. I think I could learn something from that.
Well, Bean, I'm glad I gave you an awareness level gathering.
Yes. So you gave me an out. So when you walked out of the boardroom on the episode that we saw last night,
that was fun.
After you had sat there and you heard all of the other people on your team say, Gary is the weak link, Gary is the guy that I would fire if I were you, Mr. Trump, you don't take that personally. You walk out and you're able to respect and respond well to them for the next task.
Oh, yeah. I was laughing inside because they're just burying themselves in their own dirt. As Don Rich said, Gary Busey has no focus. Well, look what Meatloaf did. He went off on a tyrant because he couldn't find his paint. Blame me for stealing his and found it in a bag. Little John found it.
Mm-hmm.
There was no focus there. There's no anger management, no control of rage.
There was a great control of rage on your part.
Absolutely.
He was screaming at you. We have the clip. We'll play it. We need to take a break. But
oh, no, don't take a break.
We have to.
I drove a long way to get here.
I know. But
that's unfair, Kevin.
We have to take a break.
Bean, help me. Bean, help me.
I promise we will come back.
This is insanity.
We're coming back. We will come back in just a couple of minutes and pick up the conversation with the great Gary Busey when we return on the Kevin and Bean.
Take it personally, don't take it serious, and know that the outcome is going to be gold in your favor, because he started the mess, but he hadn't turned his mess into a message, and he hadn't turned his test into a testimony. So God bless Meatloaf and everything he is.
I am joining the Church of Busey.
Yeah.
I'm going to start living my life. I'm going to get up today.
I'm going to get you out of your house some way.
I'm going to go buy a bracelet today that says, what would Gary do on it? I'm going to wear it, and I'm going to look at it all the time.
God bless you, Bean.
Because I'm learning. Now, Gary, you've had some troubled times in your life. We saw you on Celebrity Apprentice, on Celebrity Rehab a few seasons ago. You've had some ups and downs in your personal life, too. But it's all been a journey, it seems like, to get you to a place today where you seem like you're incredibly happy with being Gary Busey.
Well, you know, that's a great question and a great statement you made, and that's true. And I was difficult for a long time to others on the film set and in life, and I apologize to those people I was difficult with. I'm sorry I upset you or hurt you or said bad things about you, but the source of that difficulty was me being difficult with myself, and mm-hmm. I couldn't get out of my own way. Which proves the fact that we are our own worst enemy. Mm-hmm. And the enemies we have on earth that we think are enemies, they are here to show us things about ourselves we need to change. So in the truth of it all, enemies are friends in reverse. And the place I'm in now, stable and settled, I have a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful fiance, future wife, Stephanie Sampson. And she gave birth to a little boy named Luke Sampson Busey, who's 1 year and 1 month old. And he is the center of my heart, love, and attention. And I couldn't be happier. And I'm not difficult. I love to give. I love to listen to others. I love to create laughter. And even though I'm creating it, I don't realize I'm creating it because I don't think I'm funny. But people do think I'm funny. And I don't know whether they're just being kind to me or making a secret call to call the mental hospital.
I think it's a little bit of both. But Ralph, tell me if you agree with me.
A little bit of both. Did you say
that? I do think it's a little bit of both. Yeah.
Todd, I like you.
Tell me if you agree with this, Ralph, because I know you legitimately have been a fan of Gary's for your whole life.
Since Big Wednesday. Yeah.
Right.
Big Wednesday. That's a surfing movie I did.
Yeah.
So and it's your penis, too, right?
It's your nickname.
No, let's just hold off on that personal talk. If we're talking about the peenie, that wasn't me. The Big Wednesday's a surfing movie.
Sure,
When I said the 9'6" board, that's not my peenie. It's a surfboard I rode to ride 25-foot waves at Oahu on Sunset Beach.
But my question for Ralph as the movie fan is, don't you think that Gary Busey is a way better actor than much of the world knows because his personality got in the way of maybe the career that he deserved to have based on his talent?
I think his personality, but also his lifestyle. I think Gary would admit maybe he made some poor lifestyle choices at the height of your fame. Maybe you could have done things otherwise.
Yeah, but the fame doesn't leave you once you've been nominated and once you carry yourself in the honor of being a true artist. And I'll tell you this, being... acting is the absence of acting. It's believing in the truth of the moment you're creating at that time from your heart. And when I do a backstory on my character before the movie starts, when the movie starts, I've wrapped the character around me, and my heart comes to the character, and that enables me to write the letters N-A-R by every scene, and the N-A-R stands for no acting required.
Oh, interesting.
It's freedom.
Would you like, I know you're busy with your personal life now, would you like to work more, make more movies?
Oh, I am. And yes, I would. Yeah, that's coming up. That's coming. Although if you've noticed the news and talking about the movies they're making now and releasing now, it's really a slump, really a downhill road.
Right.
And I'm not interested in being a part of that. But I have an incredible family. I have a spiritual life that's so strong. I have a great family all around me. And mankind is a family to me because I love to bring miracles to other people by letting them know how much I love them and respect them. And the great way to make a friend for life is remember their name.
Preach.
Because your name is the strongest point of your identity.
Testify.
Wow, I'm terrible at that.
It's the Church of Busey, man. I'm telling you, it's the Church of Busey. We're on to something here.
Yeah, remember the names of the people you meet. Because the next day or the day after when you see them with three people, you remember everybody's name. You have an ally for life.
Hey, buddy. That's what I do. Hey, how you doing?
Well, you know what I do? When people come up to me and say, Gary, remember when we met? I go, I'm looking at him and say, yeah. And I don't. Here's what I say. When I'm with a friend, I say, I'd like you guys to introduce yourselves to each other so you'll know each other quicker, faster. Then I'll hear the name.
Sweet.
Or I'll say to the guy, what is your whole name? I didn't get the middle name. I know the middle name is important, so then I hear the name. But sometimes, and I don't have brain damage or short-term memory lapse from my motorcycle accident December the 4th, 1988.
I thought you did. I thought there was some...
I had short-term memory lapse for a while, but I went to Washington with the George Herbert Walker Bush administration, and the language I used became the language for the Traumatic Brain Injury Act that President Clinton signed in 1997.
And so you have no lasting effects from that?
No.
Or you don't? Wow.
No. The only thing I do that probably lasting effect is for a long time I was wearing my underwear backwards. So I decided.
I see no problem with that.
No, well, I don't have a problem with it now because I don't wear underwear.
And with that, too much information for Mr. Gary Busey.
No, that's not too much. That's just enough for you. I got to get you out of your house somehow.
Was Celebrity Apprentice, I'm guessing now, was the reason you wanted to do the show twofold, to raise money for the excellent brain injury charity that you just described, and two, to kind of get your face out there and have people see, hey, I'm a young, vibrant, happening, funny, active person who should be considered for more movies.
I don't have that kind of low self-esteem. I did it for the charity, the Center for Charity. Head Injury Services, because to give money to those people is like giving money to the people who kept me alive after the brain surgery recovery at Daniel Freeman Hospital with Dr. Roger Light and Dr. Barry Ludwig. It's a beautiful thing to give. You know, my mother would always say to me, it's better to give than receive. And I said, what about me and my presence? I said, well, you'll get it one day, and I got it now. And I found the truth of my me by looking at who I really am and what I really stand for without any blocks or distractions. And I really get along with me now because I'm a lovely guy to be with. And when I say that about me being lovely to be with, that's the first thing you have to do when you can be lovely with everyone else, is accept yourself for you, for your own truth and your own vulnerability and your own authenticity with no blocks, no distractions. And that, to me, is a wonderful gift of finding your true self.
Gary Busey, ladies and gentlemen. Gary Busey. All right, well, we have to break one way or another, but Ralph, what do you want to do when we come back? Do you want to give up showbiz and
Absolutely.
We'll spend one more break with
Absolutely.
Mr. Busey? You want
yeah.
to do that?
Let's forego the showbiz news and just spend some more time with Gary. I'd love to ask a few questions about some of his films.
It took me a while to get here. I'm kidding. It didn't take me a while to get here. I love being here. I came here with grace, kindness, and understanding, and I'm not leaving till it thunders.
Harvey Levin from TMZ.com joins us after the top of the hour here on the Kevin Amin Show.
Maybe.
And next hour, we also have tickets for you for the Foo Fighters documentary movie. And
Harvey
we'll be talking
Levin.
To Harvey Levin from TMZ.
Harvey Levin, is that guy that's tried to get a date with Judge Marilyn Milan?
I don't know about it.
People's Court?
He's on
People's Court, yeah.
I'm eating 100% potassium right now, Bean.
Okay.
Right, he is.
You're eating a banana, but... If you can't tell, that's the voice of the great Gary Busey in our studio. Ralph, you wanted to start with a question in the segment.
I did. Yeah. I think one of the great movie villains of all time is Mr. Joshua from Lethal Weapon. One of my favorite of your roles.
Well, Mr. Joshua, the backstory I built for Mr. Joshua, that he would walk through his grandmother's blood to get a postage stamp and never look at her.
That's great.
He had the eyes of a shark, no life. That was a great movie, working with the director Dick Dodder and Danny Glover and Mel Gibson. And
I was thinking with your newfound, your peace that you have now and your sort of the fact that you're centered, did you feel an urge at all to reach out to Mel Gibson when he was going through all his recent troubles? Did you touch base with him at all and maybe give him some advice?
At the time Mel was going through his recent problems, the ball was in his court. There's nothing you say or do to somebody with that kind of rage.
Right.
And, I'm praying. I pray that he handles it well and gets out of his own way. Because mm-hmm. that's the truth in survival, getting out of your own way and just sitting back and looking, observing. And don't take it personal and don't be hard on yourself.
Right.
And you'll do a lot better. Another good way to do it is by considering other people's feelings first. That's a great thing I like to
do. I love this man.
Gary Busey for president.
I'm telling you right now.
Write him in, right?
Yep.
Ralph brought up Lethal Weapon. I wanted to know from you, Gary, what's the best movie you ever made, and what's the movie most people come up and talk to you about?
The Buddy Holly story. Because,
both?
I did that. I sang the songs and played the guitar, and I know now that I was channeling Buddy Holly's energy when I sang. And it was a beautiful moment of a blessing and a miracle to represent Charles Hardin Holly, a.k.a. Mm-hmm. Buddy Holly, in his music and his demeanor and behavior. Although the movie left out some scenes that should have been there, and it had some scenes in the movie that should not have been there, but I couldn't change that. I was only hired to play and sing and say the lines and show up and suit up in the right way. And I did that, but I was limited in the way I could have my freedom by inviting J.I. Allison, Buddy's best friend and drummer, to the set to help me with the situation, and they wouldn't allow that. And I was with J.I. for about 3 months, several years earlier, doing a movie called Not Fade Away about Buddy and the Crickets, and I was playing J.I. Allison, the drummer, then. So I heard a lot of stories about Buddy, and I thank you, J.I. Allison, for being there with me, and understand this, that I'm not the enemy on the Buddy Holly story not being truthful. I didn't write it. I didn't direct it. and I had no say in it. And the writer, I wanted to change scenes and add some scenes, but the writer was a manic depressive man, Bobby Gettler, God bless him. And they said, we don't want to change anything because he might hurt himself. Mm. When the movie came out, May the 19th, 1979, in Dallas, Texas, was the premiere, I went up to the room with the producers and I heard them wailing, gnashing their teeth, crying. And Bobby Gettler, the writer, had read the reviews from Charles Champlin and the other reviews. They were so good that he took his own life then.
Jeez.
Wow. Oh my God.
So you never know what's going to happen in life. Just be prepared for anything.
What did the success of that movie and the subsequent Oscar nomination do for you? Did that was that too much too soon in your acting career? Were you able to handle it pretty well back then?
Nothing's too much too soon. It's just how you balance yourself in receiving the tsunami. Because it was a tsunami for me. I had been working in the industry for 9 years, but I'd never had focal responsibility in a movie. That means playing the lead character. That banana's got some mucus in my throat. But it was really a wonderful thing to do, and I had a lot of help making it. Everybody there was in love with the story, and we did it the best way we could with not a lot of money, and the rest is history.
And when you made that film, in those days, when they did a biopic about somebody, they didn't have the actor usually sing the stuff. Usually you would lip sync it to the original track or something, but you did all your own music. That was almost a first.
Well, that's right. And the guys that made the movie from Philadelphia, Freddie Bauer, Eddie Cohen, and Steve Rash, the director, magnificent director Steve Rash, and they had done rock videos before, so they knew they were going to get somebody to sing it live.
Right.
And I was doing a movie at the time called Big Wednesday, a surfing movie, and I met with him, and the stories they told about Buddy were wrong, and I straightened them out. And I said, good luck on your movie.
And really?
I went back. I said, I'm double parked. I got to hit the ocean. And then the next day they wanted me to come record. And I said, I'm not going to go in a hotel room and record to a cassette. They said, no, we want you at Village Recorders. And I went, oh, that's different. So I went down there, and there were 30 people in the control room. And I sang Heartbeat, and It Doesn't Matter Anymore. I didn't have the lyrics, but I sang what I knew.
How does he remember all of these details, guys? Is that freaking anybody else out that we're talking about the 1970s and he knows days and dates and times and places and addresses? Come on.
Well, what happened to me was when I had the motorcycle accident, after brain surgery, I quit living and I went to a very special place, which gave me a common denominator for memory. And memory and visions. And everything has to do with the five senses. I have that going back a long way, even into past lives situations. So it's a gift I had from being out of my body. It was a gift I received from being out of my body with angels surrounding me, and I don't want to get too deep in that. But
you talked about
before,
at the accident, you left your body, right?
Yeah. I don't call it an accident anymore. I call it a blessing. Because the Traumatic Brain Injury Act I helped create, and make it a helmet law right in California, having a debate with a congressman from Michigan, and Governor Jennifer Granholm of Michigan was being forced to repeal the Helmet Law Act. But when I finished the debate on MSNBC, that guy Tucker Carlson said, Gary Busey is a policy changer. He should be in the government. And now the government is doing something I've been talking about since I went to the government in 1989, and that was the mandatory helmet law in every state of the union coming from the federal government for motorcycling, bicycling, skateboarding, rollerblading, and snow skiing.
So you're trying to prevent everyone else from having the same blessing that you got.
Well, no. You misused your words then. You probably ate wrong this morning.
He's a game changer. Gary Busey, ladies and gentlemen. I'm voting for you. I don't care what you're running for, Mr. Busey. I am voting for you. You've won over this constituent today with this appearance.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. If I'm running for my life, will you still vote for me?
Absolutely. Whatever you need. We just barely grazed the surface with the great Gary Busey today on the Kevin Bean Show.
Did you say greased?
No, grazed.
Yeah. A grazing celebrity. And greasing. This sounds like you know those pig hunts? Where you got to go in and catch a pig?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, the way to win that thing is go out real slow to the pig and just kick the shit out of it.
Okay, well, that we can't say. I do know okay. that word we can't say on the radio. I got that much.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry with my
apprentice.
Air I told Sunday you I'd night. Be running for my life, Mr. Bean.
Sunday night at 9 on NBC, Celebrity Apprentice, yeah. the great Gary Busey. I hope you'll come back yeah. and see us again, sir.
I'm not leaving now. You're going to have to stay with me. Tell Harvey Levin to wait in the truck.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's 14 minutes after 9.
Yeah. That is brand new music from Incubus, by the way. That is called Adolescence from their album due July 12th. We world premiered that on the show later on today. If you missed it or want to hear it again, you can go to kevinmead.com. We are streaming it all day long. Gary Busey, we love you. We don't want to play Identify the Stain with you right now, although that was a generous offer. But we have to go. We have another guest on the phone.
No.
Thanks for coming by, guys.
I have a contract.
What?
I have a
what
contract.
What does that even mean?
I'm here for the rest of the day, you village idiot.
Harvey Levin from TMZ.com.
No,
TMZ
Harvey
Television.
Can wait in the truck. I'm going
to
be here.
We talk to Harvey every Monday.
Yeah. Well, it's Tuesday. It's Tuesday in Australia. Think about that.
I am like so excited. He is one of the most awesome people we've ever gotten on TMZ. He is so much fun.
Who's that? That's Harvey.
Harvey. This is Gary.
Gary, you are so much. We love you on TMZ. You are so much fun.
Well, I love the show. And you know what the meaning of fun is? Mm. I'm going to take the letters of spell fun and create a definition for it. F-U-N stands for finally understanding nothing.
All right.
I hear all the laughter. The laughter's enthusiastic. Like
you are almost always the funniest person we've ever gotten.
Almost always. Now, since Gary Busey is here, he is the original Charlie Sheen. He's the original Warlock.
Hey, let's hold up on that.
Dare you?
No. I'm not the original Charlie Sheen. I've known Charlie Sheen since he's 14 years old because I worked with Martin in a movie years ago called The Execution of Private Slovak. The ball's in Charlie's court right now, and we'll see what's happening. He's having a great time with it, and I pray for him every day.
Let's hear from Harvey, because I know you had correspondents in the crowd in Detroit and possibly in Chicago, too. The first show was a disaster, right, Harvey? But then it looks like they made some chances and maybe kind of saved it a little bit in Chicago the next night.
Wait a minute. Am I done? Does this mean I'm done?
Yes! We've been telling you you're done
Harvey,
for 15
what's
minutes.
Wrong?
We're going to have to have security. I ask.
Okay. No, I'm not leaving. I'm not getting out of here.
Sorry,
come
we're
going
to have to ask you to leave.
Harvey, help me.
Gary,
help me, Harvey. Help me, Harvey.
Thank you. Go, Gary. Sorry.
What is going on here? I'm sorry, but you know how Gary is.
Back.
You can't be back.
No, I just want to. Okay. I just want to salute Harvey. Right. I want to salute you with a compliment that you're doing a great job with what you do, whether
thank
it's the People's
so much,
Court
Gary.
Or TMZ. It's wonderful, and keep it up.
Wow,
and,
thank you so much.
Yeah, it means a lot to me to see your face and all the other kids in there digging up stuff and having fun with it. All right.
Thank you so much.
We need to talk to Harvey now.
Okay.
So
I pass the torch to Harvey.
Thank you.
Thank you, Gary.
Thank you, Harvey.
Thank you, Gary.
Bye, guys.
Thank you. All right. Harvey, what are your people saying that were in the crowd this weekend?
Well, I mean, we had the intrepid spy from TMZ in Detroit.
Sure.
My former assistant, whose nickname is Gassy, which I shouldn't explain right
excellent,
now.
Excellent, yes.
So Gassy was there, and he was texting me and saying this is an absolute fiasco, that they were booing him, they were walking out, they hated it. So, you know, this was do or die for Charlie in Chicago. And frankly, I thought it was going to be, I thought it was it. But he pulled it off, and people liked him in Chicago.
How?
And, well, he changed it a little. He changed it up a little bit. He didn't, you know, initially when he was in Detroit, he just walked out. He started asking people questions, and people were asking him questions, and it seemed too freestyle-y. But they just liked it more in Chicago, so, I mean, I think he's got a chance now.
Did you say the word freestyle-y?
I was hoping to get a pass on that, but I didn't.
I think they jettisoned some of the stuff that bombed, like the opening act comedian, and right. I think they cut back on some of the tape pieces that he'd been showing on the stage, and then it sounded like the smart decision that they made was rather than try to interact with the audience as much, he had a guy play an interviewer, and that's where Charlie's best is when he's being a guest rather than being a host.
That's right, and you know, look, in fairness to him, what show doesn't have to shake itself out first? And, you know, he didn't have that ability to really do it. He couldn't play in some podunk place because everybody was going to cover it no matter where he was. So the fact that he shook something out really quickly and then it ended up being pretty good in Chicago, kudos to Charlie.
Now, Kevin predicted on the air last week that Charlie Sheen was going to do two or fewer dates on this bill and then on this tour, and then he was going to be done. That he was going to not be able to take the abuse and the booing and everything like that. If he's managed to right the ship and turn it around, he really could go on and perform all of these dates and walk away with a $7 million paycheck at the end of the summer.
That's right. And Kevin wasn't the only one saying that, by the way. There were a lot of people who felt that. But, you know, he's got a shot. I mean, Chicago was really, it was make or break for him, and he pulled it off. So I think there's going to be interest now.
One last question. One of the things that got some attention that he said at the Chicago show is that the door is still not, believe it or not, 100% closed on him coming back to Two and a Half Men. He made it sound like it is something that he would still be amenable to. What are you hearing about any talks between the parties?
I can answer this definitively. All right. And I generally don't say that to you where I say, you know, here's what we heard. I just have very good sources on this. No way in the world, 100%, it is 100% certain Charlie is never coming back to Two and a Half Men.
How about that? Yeah. That is news.
It is. It's not surprising, but it is, for, you know, based on all the rumors that have been out.
Well, and it's not Charlie's doing on that. They are not going to have him back.
Right. Do you think the show will go on with another actor?
I do. I mean, look, I don't think you can take a franchise that popular and just jettison it and say, hey, you know, we did it and it's over. It's a hugely popular show, and at least you give it a shot. I mean, to me, it's like you look at American Idol, and everybody said, oh, Simon's leaving, the show's dead.
Right.
And look what happened.
And they said, no, it isn't. We're going to try it something else, and it worked.
And look what happened. Yeah. So I cannot imagine. And part of it is ego, too. I mean, I think Chuck Lorre must be thinking, wow, if I can pull this off and show that it wasn't Charlie, it was me.
Right.
I think that's a huge feather in his cap. So I would be stunned if they don't bring the show back.
Is it true that the situation is going to take his place?
Yeah, I don't think
so. Harvey Levin from TMZ.com, the entertainment website of record. And, of course, check your local listings for TMZ television. Do like Gary Busey says and watch Harvey on the TV. Hey, man, thanks a lot for coming on. We'll talk to you soon.
Great talking to you guys.
Thank you. Is he gone? Nope. Has he cleared the building? He's still there?
Oh, yeah.
So he could burst in at any time?
Absolutely.
All right, we're on Busey Watch 2011. Welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. Ralph has one more look at the Showbiz Beat coming up for a Monday. Speaking of Beer Mug,
quite a transition.
I know.
Well done.
Beer Mug has been working on and off on the Kevin and Bean Show. He's a good guy. He's been with us for a number of years now, and he is kind of stepping in for the Psycho Mike job right now because Mike's too big. Rich Mike is too big to hang out with us. So we sent Beer Mug out with the microphone last weekend for the X Factor auditions. Now, this is the new show that's a huge sensation in Britain, and it's coming to the United States this fall, and Simon Cowell is the guy behind this show. And this is different from American Idol, right, Mugs? Because there's no age limit. You can be 60 and show up for this program, right?
Yeah, well, I believe so, and it's not just solo acts either. It's you could have like a trio, and you could just showcase talent.
Yeah, you could be any age. Yeah. Is the answer.
Okay. Yeah. So you showed up to interview people standing in line at the LA Sports Arena. 17,000 people there waiting to audition for X Factor, and you're the guy that we chose to send down there to do the interviews.
Yes, you guys did.
Now we heard earlier this morning him trying to get started, and it took him a while, but he got on a roll. He started talking to a few people.
My name is Terry Farr, better known as Fifi G Love Roo.
So, GG.
Fifi.
Fifi G Love.
Too confusing.
What's happening with that?
Too confusing.
Now, I don't know what happened with this woman. I really don't. Because you start talking to her. She tells you what she's going to sing. You want to ask her to sing, but you don't. And that goes on for like 2 minutes.
What do you plan on showcasing for the judges?
I'm probably going to sing a Mary J song called I'm Going Down.
Very nice. Very nice. Now, I normally would ask you to sing it, but for some reason I believe you because you have that tone in your voice. Like you have soul, it seems like. Am I right?
You're very right.
Awesome, awesome.
What?
I just know him before I hear him sing.
Right, but what? But you were going to ask her to sing because you didn't think she could do it, but she looked like she could.
She looked like she could do it, and I honestly thought if I asked her to sing, she'd be like, "You know I could sing," so I didn't ask her.
So, Muggs, is it that all black people can sing in your mind? Is that what this is about?
No, but she just looked like she could, and she would get offended if I asked her. Right. But I did. I actually did. I had her sing on another track.
Sure.
Yeah. It was awesome.
Here's another.
Hope for America. That's who I am. It's Hope for America today.
Yeah.
Hope for America.
Let's get a chant going. Ready?
Hope for America. Hope for America.
Come on. Hope for America.
Yeah!
That was a weak chance, I got to be honest.
Yeah, not too many people joined.
Yeah, I didn't deserve that.
I know.
And I don't even understand the chant. We're not at an Obama rally. What does Hope for America even mean?
It's her name.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
What is your name and where are you from?
My name is Diana Asila. I go by Miss Marley.
Miss Marley, are you in any relation to Bob?
Yeah, we were married in my past life.
Awesome. So, where are you from? I didn't get that.
Like, he just moves on. Yeah, we were married in a former life. Yeah, awesome. Okay. Let's talk about something else. This woman is Molasses Jones.
Yes, she was the greatest person at the auditions.
My name is Molasses Jones. You want to know how it's spelled?
Yeah, how's it spelled?
It's spelled M-O-L-A-S-S-E-S.
Oh, that way.
J-O-N-E-S-E-S. Without the yes, though, obviously.
I like that. Molasses Jones, where are you from?
Whew. I am straight from the heartbeat, but a chill in the bean. This is new sh**. New sh**.
New sh**.
$5 million God sh**. God poop this out.
All right, now.
Yeah.
Now, when she says God poop this out, she's referring to herself?
Yes.
To her talent, maybe?
Yes, yes, yes.
Is that good?
Yes, she was actually a godsend. She looked, I didn't even have to find her. She saw me carrying the mic.
And but I just want to know what she means by God pooped this out.
Because.
That's a positive?
I guess, yeah. Any poop coming from God, I guess, would be good, right?
I would imagine. Yeah. Okay. So God pooped her out.
Yeah.
And then Muggs goes for the big close because it's been a long day and he's gotten a lot of interviews.
Okay, so here it is. Season 1, open call auditions here in Los Angeles. The X Factor should be a great season. The open call auditions for X Factor. Wow. Okay, so there you have it. That was season 1 of The X Factor. Beer Mug saying, wow. Beer Mug out. Yes.
But the good news is when you do the interviews like that on tape, we only play the good stuff. How about now? Is he gone now?
I believe he is, yeah.
Shut up. Okay. You're not Busey. I don't want to hear from anybody who's not Busey. I don't like anyone who's not Busey.
I hate to say this, Ralph, but Mr. Busey made a hell of a lot of sense to me today.
Yes.
Why do you hate to say that?
Why would you hate to say it? He's magic.
Because he's crazy.
No, he's not crazy. That's the magic of Busey. You think he's crazy. He seems crazy at first blush. But in reality, you know what he is? Untethered. That's
yeah,
what he is.
Yeah, that's true.
But he is not encumbered by anything else that holds us down onto this planet. He's just out there flying free.
When he was talking about his philosophy of the way he approaches every minute of his life, I thought, that's a good way to live. I mean, yes. That's a healthy attitude that man has that we could all learn from.
It's also the exact opposite in every way of being.
Yes, of course.
In every way.
That's how you know it's right.
That's how you know it's a good thing.
I'm just saying a few minutes with Dr. Busey, and now I have changed my entire worldview around. That's all.
You know, Bean said he's going to get a bracelet that says, what would Gary do?
Yeah.
I've got a bracelet that says, what wouldn't Bean do? And that's how I rule my life. I just look at
how dare
do
you.
It, and I just do the opposite.
How dare
that's
you.
What I do.
All right, time for one final look at the showbiz beat on a Monday. Kevin
Shut
and Bean
up.
Shows his rough
you're not
ground.
Busey.
What?
Shut
I'm
up.
I'm sorry.
We can't help it that we're not.
You're not Busey either.
I know, but we can't.
Shut up.
I don't want to hear from anybody who's not Busey. I just want to be. I just want to be around Busey.
Does that include you?
I hate myself because I'm not Busey. I just want to follow Busey. I just want to be a disciple of Busey. A D.O.B. How can Charlie Sheen do a world tour and Busey's not on tour?
That's a good question.
That is a show I would be like the Grateful Dead. I'd be following him around in a van selling falafel in the parking lot, just going to every show he did.
Not showering?
I would just give up my life and just follow Busey on the road. That's the level of love I have for Busey.
Right.
I don't think you understand. I think you're hearing me.
Got it.
I love Busey.
Right. You enjoyed his appearance today or you did not?
That's all right. Last night on The Apprentice, by the way, we were watching it, and Marley Matlin is the project manager for her team, and John Rich is the project manager for the other team, and they both raised an amount of money never before equaled on The Apprentice.
It was crazy.
It was about $1.5 million was raised for charity, and Marley Matlin got very emotional about her charity, which is, as you can imagine, a charity that gives hearing aids to underprivileged countries, third world countries, people who are deaf there, can't afford hearing aids. They give out hundreds of thousands of hearing aids a year. And she starts to cry because she's raised so much money for her charity, over $1 million for her charity. She starts to cry, and they cut to her interpreter, who sits to the left of Donald Trump, who signs to her what's going on in the room so that she can understand it.
Right.
Because she's deaf. And he's crying. So Marley Matlin's wiping away the tears from her eyes, and her interpreter is wiping away tears from his eyes. And my wife turns to me and says,
Does he need to do that when she does that too?
Is she interpreting that?
Does he have to do that too? He's got to mimic when she's wiping tears out of her. And I said, what? What is wrong with you? You think what part of the guy's job is? He's got to mime whatever she's doing to her face, too?
Well, it certainly looked that way.
No, he's crying.
He was crying because he was emotional.
He was really crying.
But they were wiping tears away at the same time.
Mimicking her eye wipe.
I'm with your wife. That's
why?
Weird.
How can you be with her?
Because that's bizarre.
Why would anyone? They can see. They're not blind. They can see that she's crying. Why would he have to interpret her crying?
Ask
for people?
Him. I wasn't doing it.
You're missing the point.
Oh. Ugh.
The problem with your wife is the same as the problem with Kevin, is that neither of them are Gary Busey.
That's the problem right there. All right, let me give away some more passes to the premiere of Scream 4. Red carpet world premiere, mind you. Not just any old premiere.
Yeah!
This is where all the celebrities are going to be at Grauman's Chinese Theater on Monday, April the 11th. Movies in theaters everywhere on April the 15th, that Friday. But if you'd like to go to the red carpet world premiere and see all the stars, now I'm talking Neve Campbell, Courtney Cox, David Arquette, Emma Roberts, Hayden Panettiere, Rory Culkin.
Wow. Wow.
Anthony Anderson, Adam Brody from the OC. Great cast. If you'd like to go, let's see the first two callers right now who can get through at 1-800-520-1067. First two callers get through, get a pair of passes to the red carpet world premiere of Scream 4.
Mmm, tasty. I'm in. Where do I get tickets?
I believe I just told you, sir. I just told you where you can get tickets. Let's take a look at the top 10 box office movies. Hop, number one at the box office. $38.2 million making its debut. An animated film about the Easter Bunny. Yes, people are in that Easter spirit.
Sure.
Yes, they've got the Easter season is upon us.
Is Russell Brand the voice of either the Easter Bunny or E.B.?
He is indeed the voice of E.B., yes.
All right.
Why? What do you got against Brand?
That was a strange question.
No,
says a little disdain in your voice.
I didn't know for sure if he was the one doing that. Okay. It's weird because he's got Arthur coming out next week. He's got the Easter Bunny this week. I mean, this dude's having a big month.
Yeah, and you know what else?
He married Katy Perry.
He sure did. He's got those.
A very good year.
That trumps all.
It does indeed. Well, Donald Trump has nothing to do with it. $38.2 million made it number one. Gary Busey should be in more animated movies. With that voice, can you imagine if he was like the voice of like a noble steed or something, like a horse? Like, told everyone else on the farm how to live their lives. I'd go see that. Source Code did very well for itself. $15 million in its debut, made it number two. Insidious was third. Diary of a Wimpy Kid was fourth. Then Limitless, Lincoln Lawyer, Sucker Punch, Rango, and Paul. What need is George? John, you got yourself the Beatles. and Battle Los Angeles, rounding out the top 10 at the box office. Oh, I wish I was Busey.
You're not.
I know I'm not Busey.
And you'll never be.
You know who else is not Busey?
Us.
Charlie Sheen.
No.
He's the anti-Busey. He started his whirlwind tour this weekend, kicked off his tour in Detroit, Rock City. Didn't go so well for Mr. Sheen in Detroit. People were booing, jeering, heckling, and eventually streaming for the exits. He left the stage early. A rapper came on to fill out the rest of the show.
They literally booed him off the stage.
Yeah, wow. They really did. Here's a little snippet of this is actual, someone taped this from the audience. Charlie trying to talk about whatever he's talking about on stage and people booing and hissing.
Grizzly 2, the Predator.
Idiot!
Idiot.
F you Detroit, he ended his statement there.
So I thought that was going to continue on Sunday night.
We all did. It was so funny. Backstage at the April Foolishness concert, people were getting tweets about this, and it was spreading like wildfire backstage. Did you hear Sheen got booed on stage? Oh, no. People like running around. It was like they landed on the moon or something. The news traveled backstage. Everyone was so excited amongst real comedians that Sheen was getting booed off the stage. We're all very pleased. It's no Gary Busey. Kate Winslet.
Ooh.
Was interviewed recently about her new miniseries that she's got on HBO, Mildred Pierce.
Mm-hmm.
I've got all three episodes TiVo'd. Have not seen any of it yet. But
me too. Right there with you.
Good. She talks about where she keeps her Oscar. That's often the popular question when you're interviewing an Oscar winner. She says she keeps hers in the toilet.
Huh?
She says everyone wants to touch, hold, and admire her trophy, so she thought the best place to display it would be in the bathroom, where friends can have a little privacy with him. Oh, I don't want to know what they're doing to Oscar in the bathroom.
That's
disturbing.
Yeah.
That's a common answer from celebrities, too, and I think some of them do it to remain humble.
Too much information, man.
I suppose.
What would you do with yours, Ralph?
If I won the Oscar, I would suspend it from my ceiling with fishing line at about the 5 foot level. So as you walk into the house, it would hit you in the head.
All right.
You would not be able to avoid coming into my house without smacking that that smacking you in the face.
I'd wear it as a necklace
everywhere I went.
Like a Flava Flav-esque sort of bling.
Yep. I like it. See, that's why we should be winners.
And we're not.
Tony Pictures. What? Sony Pictures is indeed confirmed they are going ahead with this movie I talked about last week. The Ashton Kutcher, Justin Bieber film?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What Would Kenny Do is its name. Justin plays a 17-year-old version of Ashton Kutcher. And Kutcher gets to go back in time to talk to his 17-year-old self and give him advice.
You know, that's terrible.
First advice he should give him is, don't make What Would Kenny Do? That's only the advice.
There's only one Kenny, and he's on South Park. That's it. That's the only acceptable Kenny.
And they killed him.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Craig T. Nelson is 67 years old today. Christine Lotti is 61. David E. Kelly, writer and producer from such shows as Ally McBeal and Boston Legal, currently doing Wonder Woman. He is 55 years old. Hugo Weaving is 51. David Cross, our buddy from Arrested Development and Mr. Show, he's 47. Robert Downey Jr. is 46 years old today. Dude's pushing 50. Who looks better right now in movies than Robert Downey Jr.?
No one.
Who has punished their body with copious amounts of pharmaceuticals more than Robert Downey Jr.?
No one.
How does that happen?
Pack of the devil.
How do you abuse yourself so severely and then end up looking that good at almost 50?
I don't know.
I don't like it.
I don't either.
I don't like it one bit. Barry Pepper's 41 years old today. David Blaine is 38. Natasha Lyonne is 32. Jamie Lynn Spears celebrates her 20th birthday today. And, out of time. We have time for any Cardigan interview tape.
Oh, what a shame. Sadly. What a shame.
Magnus Svenningsen of the Cardigans is 39 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow morning we have Ask
Busey? Do we have Busey tomorrow?
No. We have Ask a Dream Interpreter tomorrow.
Hope I dream about Busey tonight.
So people can call in with their dreams and this person will tell you what it means. We have Petros Papadakis talking about tonight's Final Four. All the other sports that are going on. And we have Mr. Dave Grohl in our studio tomorrow.
Not Busey.
How about that?
But he's Dave Grohl.
Grohl, but not Busey.
It's hard to argue.
That's it.
That's tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.